What's poppin', everybody? What is poppin'? Poppin' today.
Oh, boy.
Got a light crowd. It's just Mark from Berkeley and Drew from Ferndale.
Yeah.
Drew from Ferndale.
Jay from Plymouth's here.
It's a pretty sweet dumpster you got out in front.
Isn't that nice? I know, it just gets better and better and better, doesn't it?
Well, but it's progress, right? Drew's getting the porch replaced.
It's always bad, though. Something shitty is always going. By the way,
I don't see that as being shitty, though. I see it as progress. You're getting
true.
It just sucks that you have a dumpster in your driveway, so you have to park out in front.
Well, my landscaping is the next thing. It's hideous.
Ah, whatever.
Oh. And then I noticed there was no toilet paper in the bathroom upstairs. I mean, normally, it would be no issue whatsoever, but now there's people flooding my house every day and LaDuff's inspection every Friday. I have to be worried about this shit.
Oh,
LaDuff would love it. I'd never hear the end of it if LaDuff caught me with no butt tape. Yes, bathroom.
Just use a towel. Whatever towel's in there.
Actually, there were paper towels in there over the weekend.
Nobody wants to wipe their ass with a paper towel.
Well, there was nothing else.
Ugh.
Would you prefer?
Charlie's on vacation, though, right? So we're safe this week.
Is he on vacation?
Didn't you say he was?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he's not here this week. Oh, thank
really?
God.
Did you see his piece last night?
Break.
His big LaDuff piece ran. Yeah, it was a good piece.
Yeah, it was. Very good.
It's heavy, but it was good. Definitely. And I wondered why he wasn't there to intro it.
Oh.
He wasn't there to intro it, so he must be on vacation.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. That was the fastest intro to a Charlie story ever.
Yeah. That was a good little story, though, Charlie.
Well, today's one of those shitty stories. It seems like it happens every year with the graduating high school class, or in this case, it's next year's graduating class. 10 teenagers go to Cedar Point to have a good time, and they drive home at 1:10 a.m. And they were near Toledo when they rolled a van with 10 teenagers. Three aren't critical. I mean, personally, I'm thinking, thank God nobody's died.
Yeah.
Two were ejected from the vehicle, and we learned that the driver and the passenger were trying to change seats while they drove.
Yeah. 17 and 16 years old, the two people that were trying to change seats. Although the driver still had the seatbelt on, right?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I believe so. I believe the driver was wearing the seatbelt.
How can you change seats with the seatbelt?
I don't know. Unless the other girl was trying to take control at that moment. And just, I don't know.
Well, who can explain? You know, when you have 10 teenagers in a van at 1 in the morning, what, I mean.
Don't you feel like most of them would be just crap? Well, they're a bunch of teenagers hanging out together. I think most of them would just be asleep.
Well, unless they're, you know, unless they're having a little more fun than that. I don't know.
It's funny. That part didn't even enter my mind for some reason because they were 16, 15 years old.
Well, anytime teenager in the car at 1 in the morning.
You're right.
I shouldn't even be thinking that because they haven't said anything. So maybe there's absolutely not even a wisp of information that there's any alcohol involved. They were coming back from Cedar Point, which is a good old.
It's always a real sleepy drive.
I've never been to Cedar Point, believe it or not.
You've never, ever been there, really?
The only person in Michigan.
This is so timely. I forgot this is in my wallet. My mom found this the other day and made me take it when I was at her house. Hang on. There it is. There's my Cedar Point season pass from 1989.
How old are you?
89. I'd be 13 there. Well, yeah, 13.
You are one nerdy looking kid.
Joey, we post that.
This has got to be posted
for Twitter. And tag me. Isn't that awesome?
That's really
I said to my brother, I go, I wonder if that would work today. And the first thing on the bag is valid for season on the front.
No wonder your brother was charging you for cable.
Oh man, that would have been around the time. That would have been right after then. But we used to we used to have season passes for Cedar Point, so we went there all the time.
Oh really?
Yeah, that probably was the first year I got it. But we always went in high school and everything too.
Wow,
love Cedar Point. I haven't been there in years though.
Man, from Ann Arbor, that's a hike.
Parents had a place in Port Clinton.
Oh, so you stayed in Ohio?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yep, on the lake, and then short little 15-minute drive. And bratty kids running around.
When you told me your parents had a place in Ohio, I thought, God, people have vacation places in Ohio? Really?
You know what's funny about that? It, people always go up north. Like, everybody I knew always go up north. But our family never did that because my parents are so Ohio-centric. You know, they're from Ohio.
Well, you seem to really like that place. Ohio. I mean, is it a scenic place? Is it scenic in Ohio?
It sounds silly that it's on Lake Erie, but it's, you know, it's on Lake Erie. It's on a lake. It's right near the launching point for Put-in Bay, which a lot of people know what Put-in Bay is.
Oh, absolutely.
So, but no, it's a lot of fun growing up and going down there.
Can't be bad.
A lake and a pool. And
it's on water.
A bunch of bratty kids running around.
Did you guys have a boat?
No.
Mm-mm. No boat?
No. Surprised. I don't know why. My dad used to make promises like, if this, then we'd do that, and never lived up to any of them. And I realized now as a parent, he just did that to pacify us when he made the agreement.
Oh, well, you guys
are like, Dad, we were getting a boat. And he'd make, well, if this happens, then we will.
He had no intention of getting a boat.
No.
He doesn't seem like a boat person.
Have a boat? We would never have a boat.
Some people are just boat.
It's too big of an expense, and nobody wants a boat.
I don't know. A lot of people.
Well, you know what I mean, though. It's a lot of work.
Yeah, you're either.
When I say nobody wants
a
boat, I meant nobody in my family wants to take care of a boat.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
It's always better to know somebody that has a boat.
Oh, definitely. You got to have boat friends. God, I had great boat friends in high school. Used to water ski like crazy in Lake Michigan.
There you go.
I mean, actually knew the proper winds, which winds you needed for calm waters.
Really?
Yeah, I was that into water skiing at one time. Slalomed like a madman.
Why don't you take one of those? One of those boards.
Boogie boards or whatever?
No. Remember that guy we talked to was doing it for charity? You stand on the board.
Oh, no, thank you.
And they kept delaying it because of weather?
Yeah. That's
what's it
not
called, damn it? It's the thing, what's-his-face was just new. Orlando Bloom was just nude on.
Chelios and Kid Rock were doing it.
What are they called, Jay?
Paddleboard.
Paddleboard. Yeah. Duh.
That's not water skiing. Not close to water skiing.
No, but those guys were they were heavily involved in the right temperature and waves and
wind
to do it.
Oh, calm waters in the morning, man. We were out there at 6:30 or 7 to go water skiing. What a blast!
Hey, speaking of Orlando Bloom being nude recently, have you seen the other celebrity nude that is out there?
Bieber?
Yeah. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't seen it. I know his dad is bragging about his cock all the time.
Is he bragging about his huge bush, too?
Is he actually hung?
I don't think he's hung. I think he's kind of a chode.
Good.
Here you go.
I don't want him to be hung.
Here's a picture of him.
I'm tired of hearing about Orlando Bloom's dick all day. My God.
People won't shut up about it. He is fluffed in that picture. He's damn near erect in that
Bieber?
Picture.
Are you talking or Bloom?
That's Biebs.
Oh, yeah, he's fluffed. He's totally fluffed.
He looks erect. He looks almost fully masted, doesn't he?
Yeah, is he uncertain? He's lifting off the bag. I think there's some
lift-off. Jay, take a look.
There's got to be a light lift-off going on there.
Lift-off? I think it's at full attention for some reason.
No, he is. He made the mistake of lifting off too much, I think. Because now we know he's fluffed. He needed to just knock it off. He went a little too crazy.
It is like walking a razor's edge, isn't it? From fluff to mess.
It's tough. It's tricky. You got to be very careful.
Come on, Bieber. This picture is like so perfect, too. He did this on purpose.
Was Bloom fluffed also?
You know what? I never saw the Orlando Bloom one. Joe, you want to see Bieber's nude? You want to see Bieber's dong?
Good.
You sure?
Yeah.
All right.
It seems homophobic to turn down.
Yeah. If anything, you should look at it and go, is that it?
Is that all you got?
Chicks,
is that all you got, Bieber?
Chicks are in that. Ugh.
Anyway, Orlando Bloom, the thing about Orlando Bloom is that he's nude with his big cock walking around with Katy Perry, who's not nude.
I know. It's a little awkward.
Yeah, and, you know,
it's like they just ran into each other and he happened to be nude.
They're on a paddleboard. He's lifting off the bag, by the way.
Is that, I'll come look at it.
Oh, is that all you got, Bloom?
There's liftoff, clearly, because the head is not wrapped around the testes or even near the testes.
She looks disgusted.
Yeah, I think she's bummed. She's definitely bummed.
I think she just took a peek at it and turned around and was like, oh, my God, that's gross.
What a rack on her. Jesus.
Yeah, beautiful.
God, she is pretty.
Nice.
But, you know, nice getting your dick burned on a hot day. Getting it burned. So
you're not lotion it up.
Oh, obviously he did more than lotion it up. My God, look at the liftoff on that thing.
Seen her ass.
Why didn't he get a visor for it? A dick visor. I don't know.
That's a great idea, Mark.
Dick visor.
Shouldn't that be an invention of some kind?
Sure. Shoot. Jay, we file a...
immediately.
File a copyright for it.
On it.
Here, let me draw something up real quick.
Penis visor.
Yeah.
God, I love that. That's hilarious. First of all, it'd be so funny to see.
Trying to draw like real plans for it.
I can just see that, you know, some engineering, some blueprint or engineering type drawing.
Yeah, for a patent.
I think it's, I mean, nudists, wouldn't you think nudists would need something like that?
I don't know if that's the best finding. That's the best I could do in like 20 seconds. The visor's not big enough, though.
I think the visor has to attach further down the penis.
Oh, so like on the shaft. Oh, yeah. I'm serious. I was just going to put it around the waist.
Almost like pretending like the one eye is like an eye. Like you're literally covering the eyes with the visor.
I don't know if the physics work out on that.
Because, yeah, it's a little tricky. It's going to require some work. We're going to need Jay to get involved.
You dick!
It's going to end up looking like just a rubber that's, you know, shaded or whatever. Like a dark gray condom. For UV protection.
Love this idea.
Oh, wow, that's a lot of bone talk.
Hey, our Facebook program, people are sending photos, hopefully with the logo, the podcast logo somewhere visible, which some people are missing out on that. And they're also not putting it on Facebook. They're putting it on Twitter or they're emailing. Somebody emailed us from, was it Shanghai or? Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Hell yeah. There's a guy listening to us in Shanghai from this Ferndale basement.
What's
in Shanghai.
Did he say what he does or anything?
No, he didn't. And, you know, I would like to know that, too. Why are you a former Michigander? I know all of you seem
automotive.
To have listened while you were here. Why are you else? Why are you where you are? Hmm. We'd like to know your story. And we're
there's China stealing our great our great exports again. Trump's going to bring that guy back.
Bring what guy back?
The guy that's in Shanghai.
Oh,
that's
yes.
Listening. Trump's going to bring him back.
Yeah.
Their job sent overseas.
I gotta tell you, I don't know how things can get any worse for Donald Trump. Today, he is. Is this a strong thing that people believe he has suggested killing Hillary Clinton now?
Yeah.
How strong a story is this?
Telling people to assassinate. I thought it was fairly strong. I saw it pop up a few other places. But that could be because there's audio of it. It's been kind of a slow election news cycle the last week. Ever since the Olympics started, I feel like the election
is the story about her being sued by two of the Benghazi victims.
That's
family.
Pretty huge.
I thought it was an afterthought. I was
Really?
Well, when I saw it this morning, it was like there were three Trump stories, and then they just dropped that in at the end. And it's interesting. Ryan's coming on tomorrow. Ryan Armani, which I'm excited about. I love Ryan. And I know Ryan is not happy with the way this presidential election is being covered, And I'm not going to say I'm not happy about it, but I think it's clearly bullshit. I've never seen a candidate get so destroyed by the media. Not that Donald Trump isn't his own worst enemy, but I think the media is just delighting in... it's like this thing today, I listen to it, and I think it's one of those things, if you want to believe that he's... I mean, it's clearly going to be taken this way, just because of the way things are going for him, and I think... because people want to believe the worst. I've just never seen the media. There's always accusations that the media is biased. This, to me, is the worst application of it I've ever seen. And that's, again, not to suggest that he is not his own worst enemy.
I was going
to
say, I mean, he's probably had more coverage than anything. He's probably easily done more interviews than her.
But it's all bad.
Well,
and she, you know, she's not had a press conference in over a year.
How much of that does he bring on, though, like you're saying?
Oh, he brings on plenty.
He does have the power of Fox behind him.
Oh, it's obliterated by so much.
Sorry.
So let's hear the Donald Trump thing. And
by the way, it's the headline on CNN. CNN.com is Trump calls out to gun owners? Trump, Second Amendment, people should deal with Clinton? Go to Fox News, and it's nowhere on the front page. There's plenty of other
things.
Well,
Fox News, of course, just like MSNBC is going to kiss her ass, Fox News is going to kiss his ass.
But that's a problem for both of them.
What's a problem?
That they're so biased one way or the other.
That's the way people like to get their news. A lot of people want it through their own filter. I know. I think it's crazy, too, but it is what it is.
And they top story on NBC News and MSNBC, Second Amendment quip seen as threat against Clinton.
Oh, my God. What's next? Secret Service going to go interview Donald Trump because he's threatening the First Lady? The First Lady. The Democratic candidate.
She has full Secret Service now.
But Secret Service, any threat to a candidate would be taken extremely seriously, and I would think they would go interview him. If they believe that he is threatening Hillary Clinton with this comment, you can't make jokes about that. You cannot.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
But, you know, I listened to it. I don't think he doesn't sound like he's joking to me. I think he's talking about the Second Amendment people, I don't know, voting?
But he's already talking.
Power?
He's already talking about once she's elected. Do I really think Donald Trump is encouraging people to assassinate Hillary Clinton? Of course not. So it's got to be a joke, right?
Well, it was a joke, but I don't think it's a joke. Because play the audio. You know, for example, the baby thing.
Yeah.
To me, it was
Hillary
very
wants
clear.
To essentially abolish the Second Amendment. By the way, and if she gets to pick her judges, nothing you can do, folks. Although the Second Amendment people, maybe there is, I don't know. But I'll
That's
tell you
he's
what.
Joking?
That will
like
be a horrible
joke?
Day.
But he is talking about post-election, if she's choosing her judges.
Hillary gets to put her judges.
Well,
right now, we're high. You see what's going on.
I mean, how far has he thought this through? I think he is ad-libbing again.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure he hasn't thought it through at all.
So, whatever.
He is his own worst enemy.
Oh, no question. But I think I just think that's bullshit. I don't think that's really a story. Because I don't think he's threatening the first Hillary Clinton.
How can... whatever.
You think he's making a joke? You think he's really making a joke?
I think he was joking, but of course he's not really... I don't really think he's encouraging someone to assassinate a presidential candidate.
But even if he was joking, that would be beyond stupid. I don't hear a joking tone in his voice. I think he's talking about taken care of, as in the way the Second Amendment people take care of people, which is they donate shitloads of money, they give to candidates, they use their power to make change.
That's what the Trump campaign is saying in their statement today.
And I'm only, and not that I'm trying to be in line with the Trump people either.
I didn't hear it that way just because of in the tone of what he, in the context of what he was saying post-election, her choosing her judges.
But again, he's ad-libbing. Is he really thinking that far through?
Of course not. That's the problem with him.
Well, to some people, it's refreshing. I mean,
there's the lead story.
I wish most people would talk more extemporaneously when they're running for office so we can know what they really feel. But we're not allowed to know that because it's all about who runs the best commercials, who raises the most money. I mean, the whole system is so stupid. But when he's talking about the baby, which is another example, and again, I'm looking forward to Ryan being here tomorrow. It is so obvious to me that he is joking, and I thought it was funny too. I thought he was, and this is when Trump can be endearing. He can be very funny, and I thought that was one of those moments. But it was reported as Donald Trump kicks baby out of rally. I mean, some people really report it that way.
Can we all agree that baby had to be kicked out anyway? Can we all agree to that?
Well, of course she should leave with a cry. Anybody should leave with a cry.
Kicked out. The baby should have been kicked out.
Oh, yeah, the baby should have been kicked out.
They should have taken that little baby arm behind its back and carried it
up. Grab it by just above the elbow.
Little baby half Nelson with the arm behind the back. Go, baby. Baby, get out of here. And make the mom stay.
But listen to his tone.
Don't worry about that baby. I love babies. I love babies. I hear that baby
That's
crying.
A joke.
I like
don't love babies.
I like it. What a baby.
He changed diapers.
What a beautiful baby.
He likes
don't worry,
it.
Don't worry. The mom's running around like, don't worry about it, you know?
And the tone
it's
is so
young,
obvious.
And beautiful.
To
it's
me.
Healthy, and that's what we want. Okay. But look. We have the piggy bank. They have ripped us to shreds. Ripped us absolutely to shreds. Actually, I was only kidding. You can get the baby out of here. That's all right. Don't worry. I think she really believed me that I love having a baby crying while I'm speaking.
Oh, so he's lying about that.
That's okay.
Okay, now run the Second Amendment thing. Because I don't hear
Do you want to hear ABC's coverage of the story?
After we run this, just real quick. I don't hear the slightest, even an iota of humor in his voice.
Hillary wants to essentially abolish the Second Amendment. By the way, and if she gets to pick... If she gets to pick her judges, nothing you can do, folks. Although the Second Amendment people, maybe there is, I don't know. But...
See, that's assuming she gets to pick her judges.
That will be a horrible day if Hillary gets to pick her judges.
Assuming that everyone is thinking in the proper tense and
all right, whatever.
I don't want to get in the habit of.
I can see how people would be a little weirded out by that comment. But that's the problem with him, that we even have to figure out what he's talking about,
really
his context and semantics.
If you really think Donald Trump would kill Hillary Clinton or suggest that she be killed.
Of course I don't.
But I don't even think that. I think it's miles from his mind.
Okay, I don't think that either. But do you think it's possible he would joke about such a thing?
Not in that context, at this time.
Just at any moment. Do you think he would ever joke about that?
It's possible.
Isn't that a problem? Do you really want a president joking about something like that? Well,
anyone could make a joke about killing people.
Yeah, but
joke
not
about
anybody's
killing their wives.
Not anybody's running for president.
Reagan made a joke about bombing Russia.
Yeah, and it was a huge problem.
Oh, it was nothing. It was over in two days.
It was to Russia.
Well, I don't hear a joking tone in his voice. I don't think he meant that. But the way it is. Okay, so now I want to hear how it's covered.
Okay.
No, I think he was serious as in Second Amendment people take care of the way they take care of any politician.
The way it's covered
is pretty damn powerful.
The way it's covered is going to look bad because they're going to have the Democratic response, which you know will be way over the top.
What network is this?
ABC.
Okay.
Which I think ABC's pretty...
I want to tell you, generally speaking, I don't believe the whole media bias thing. I'm sure everyone has biases, but I'm never very paranoid about this in general. It's not... I'm probably less than most.
Yeah. Oh, I would agree with that.
Justices saying if she's elected, there's nothing you can do. Then adding, quote, the Second Amendment people, maybe there is. Tonight, the outrage is immediate. Sem saying this is not a political misstep, that this is a dangerous threat. We begin with ABC's Tom Yamas on the campaign trail.
See, I don't see either side of it.
Donald Trump accused of crossing the line in a dangerous way.
Hillary wants to essentially abolish the Second Amendment. By the way, and if she gets to pick. If she gets to pick her judges, nothing you can do, folks. Although the Second Amendment people, maybe there is, I don't know. But
just look at how one Trump supporter reacted after Trump said that.
Whoa,
Hillary Clinton tweeting this statement from her campaign. A person seeking to be the president of the United States should not suggest violence in any way. The Trump campaign says Trump wasn't talking about violence, that he was trying to rally support, releasing this statement.
Yeah.
It's called the power of unification. Second Amendment people have amazing spirit and are tremendously unified, which gives them great political power. And about his comments that Clinton will pick the next Supreme Court justice, the NRA coming to Trump's defense, tweeting, Donald Trump is right. If Hillary Clinton gets to pick her anti-Second Amendment Supreme Court judges, there's nothing we can do. But Clinton supporters not buying it. Senator Chris Murphy from Connecticut, where the Newtown shooting still resonates, tweeting, don't treat this as a political misstep. It's an assassination threat.
Oh,
seriously
my
upping
God.
The possibility of a national tragedy and crisis. And it's not just Democrats. Many prominent Republicans in just the last 24 hours say they've had enough of Trump. 50 leading GOP national security experts writing that letter saying Trump would be, quote, the most reckless president in American history.
That event did not follow the previous event. The letter signed by 50 people?
No, that was prior to that event.
Uh-huh. I think it was very deceptive the way that was reported.
Yep. Can we continue?
Yeah.
Okay.
Today, another prominent Republican, Senator Susan Collins of Maine, also saying she won't vote for Trump.
I do not believe that he is the president that we need at this time in our country's history.
Trump earlier today saying nothing's wrong with his campaign style.
I've always had a good temperament, and it's gotten me here. You can't and you don't want to. I certainly don't think it's appropriate to start changing all of a sudden when you've been winning.
And dismissing the growing number of GOP leaders abandoning him.
You know, these politicians, they don't know me. They don't understand me.
And Tom Yamas with us live tonight from North Carolina. And Tom, back to those words, Donald Trump addressing, quote,
I'm sure David Muir thinks he was really wants to be assassinated.
By his words, but critics saying this was dangerous and a threat.
Critics would say that.
David, tonight we reached out to the Secret Service. They told us they are aware of what Donald Trump said, but right now there is no comment whether this will even be investigated.
Let me ask you this, though. Is it a little reckless to say something like that?
Yes.
Considering that somebody might think he's serious and might actually do it?
Well, not to mention all the people referring to him as racist. A racist?
Yeah. No, but I'm talking about what he said.
Oh, yeah. What Trump said?
Yeah, that's what's irresponsible about it. Somebody might actually hear that and go, there is something we could do about this.
Well, now that it's being reported this way and now that it's being suggested the Secret Service should investigate Donald Trump as someone who wants to assassinate or suggesting the president or the...
No, but I
can't. She's a fucking candidate for president.
I know, but even aside from the story, but just what he said, you don't think it's irresponsible to put it out there that somebody might actually do that?
Well, I think after the speech today, if someone questioned him, he should have obviously said, oh, come on, of course I meant to use their power. The Second Amendment people, quote unquote, are incredibly powerful.
Well, that's what their
statement was.
And
they don't go around
was.
Shooting people. That's not how they use their power.
Yeah, that's what their statement was.
I mean, it's, oh, God. Here's what I'm talking about as far as throwing terms around loosely. And this is not suggest that Trump doesn't throw things around loosely, and he's an idiot for doing it. But I think when the other side takes things and suggests that, oh, well, because of this, he's a racist, and I'm going to call him a racist every chance I get, you start to mobilize people in a very dangerous way also. Here's a guy, for example, who was a protester yesterday.
Oh, downtown? At his economic speech?
Well, just this story in general. There's a really dumb chant here, too.
Oh, I love chants.
I know. They're always – usually they're so good. Just as GOP president began speech, when 100 protesters outside the venue were decrying the bombastic businessman holding signs that called Trump sexist, racist, and fascist. No Trump, no KKK, no fascist USA. No Trump, no KKK, no fascist USA.
Yeah, it doesn't really roll off the tongue.
Protesters belted out Monday. Facing a sparse line of police, including 5 mounted hoses. No violence broke out Monday during protests organized by the UAW.
The KKK thing, though, he could have been a little faster to denounce David Duke and the support. Remember when he had a delegate who was a member of the KKK?
Yes, but to say...
He's hurt himself there.
Well, I agree, but to call him a racist for the next 6 months because of that one little thing, I think is a little irresponsible.
You're sexist. That's horrible.
But you could see why somebody would think that, though, because he didn't denounce it when he first could have.
Well, I don't remember the exact sequence of events, but no, it was poorly executed.
That's right.
Police briefly detained the flag. Oh, this is some guy carrying a Confederate flag who's out there getting a fight with some UAW people fighting over his Confederate flag.
As if that's something worth fighting over.
Inside Koval Center, more than 12 event attendees, each individually disrupted Trump's speech, shouting slogans like, tiny hands, and were escorted from the room by security.
Silly.
Many times, audience members rose to their feet and shouted down demonstrators. And by the way, the Detroit Economic Club is acting as if, you know, they're so upset and they're investigating all these people. How did all these protesters get in there? Oh, yeah, I'm sure
they
they're
joined
so
the
upset.
Club.
You want to close Michigan plants and outsource our jobs? Grosse Pointe Woods auto worker Jackie Maxwell shouted during Trump's speech as she stood in her chair. How are we supposed to raise our families without good jobs? Is that what you call winning? When did he say he wanted to outsource jobs?
Well, you know what? He wasn't for saving Chrysler and GM. He wasn't for the auto bailout.
But his plan in his complaint about the trade imbalance is that he wants to bring manufacturing back to the U.S. If you want to hold him responsible for the bank or for the other thing, that's fine. At the end of the speech, after Trump had left the stage, Economic Club president and CEO Beth Chappelle, and by the way, 80% of people did not want to bail out the auto companies.
Mm-hmm.
Economic Club president and CEO Beth Chappelle vowed no to investigate how the demonstrators got into the speech and ensure they're banned from future club events.
Wait, we know how they got into the speech.
They
one guy admitted he joined and then invited 12
people. Yeah. That's not what the Detroit Economic Club is about. An Economic Club official said the 3,000-member organization gained about 100 new members since Trump's speech was announced last Wednesday. Oh, I wonder why.
I think your investigation's over.
The Economic Club is such a hot... I mean, people are just joining like crazy lately.
What a quandary, because they should give the money back, but that'd be bad economics if they do that. So then why would you want to join the club?
Many protesting fierce policies will be anti-worker. Trump is mobilizing racist, misogynist sentiment among white middle-class workers, said David Langstaff. I live in Detroit, and I think we have a responsibility to resist Donald Trump. So, again, racist, misogynist, racist, racist, racist. He also declared himself anti-democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton, saying he supports an entirely new system of U.S. government. The kinds of things we need for ourselves is not going to happen through the ballot box. Our country should be based on principles of radical democracy and egalitarianism. Wall of Trump, one sheet read, no borders, no attacks on women, no capitalism, read others. No capitalism? Interesting. Okay. Oh, God. I'm starting to want this election to be over already.
Well, he's not doing himself any favors.
Trump also said titties during his speech.
Oh, yeah.
I'm surprised nobody's reporting on that.
He's covered that.
Sexist.
Our country. And, by the way, into titties like right here in Detroit.
Crowd loves it.
Oh, Detroit is titties, man. He's right.
Of course.
Bye-bye.
There's titties here.
Okay. Anything else today? Are any other big stories besides him wanting
Trump-wise?
To kill Hillary?
No, that's pretty much it. Oh, well, there's that Joker that's running as an independent now. Have you seen that guy? You haven't seen that guy?
Oh,
the
yeah.
The Republican
yes,
that's running as
yes.
an independent, Evan McMullen. Slow down, by the way. Like, what took this idiot so long?
You know, I'm surprised that...
Like now it just hit him that hey, Trump can't be president. I'm going to run.
I'm a little surprised that Ted Cruz or somebody hasn't just jumped in as an independent. I mean, what the hell?
Yeah, why not? Why not? I'm surprised Bloomberg hasn't. Although he would take votes away. Well, no, he'd probably take votes away from both.
I think it could happen. I think it could still happen.
Yeah, more than anything, they take votes away from Gary Johnson.
And by the way, here's another exciting Trump story. The picture of his mother's hair. Have you seen this?
No.
This is from 1997. Somebody got a screenshot of her on Australian TV. Look at this.
Oh, well, that explains a lot.
Her hair is very much like his.
Oh my God, he looks a lot like her, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
He doesn't really look too much like his dad. He looks a lot like his mom.
That's one of the funniest things I've ever
mommy.
Seen.
Mommy. Nice hair.
We got to get that out there. Can you tweet that, Jay?
Yeah. The other political story was Jeb Bush's kid endorsed Trump.
The Latino kid.
Yeah, in a very low energy kind of way, too.
Oh, very low energy.
That speech he gave.
Hey, you know, I so wanted to talk about this last week because I thought this was one of the coolest things I've ever read. The most Google D-list celebrity in each state of the union?
Yeah, we were talking about that off the air.
How did we let this get passed?
It kind of makes sense in a way when you see who's who.
I thought they missed on some, though.
Oh, really?
Well, you know, for example, I don't consider Daryl Hannah to be D-list. I have to believe
this. What's she done in 20 years?
Well, she's a star in some pretty big movies. Not lately.
What, since Splash?
You think Daryl Hannah's D-list?
What has Daryl Hannah done?
I mean, compared to Ross Matthews?
Well, I guess
or
not.
Or Dustin Diamond?
I wouldn't use that comparison. Yeah, I gotta say...
I think she's an actress.
Dustin's been more relevant more recently than she has.
Oh, for what? For getting arrested? For
no, just
stabbing someone?
No, but Saved by the Bell's more recent than Splash.
She's been in plenty of movies. Splash is not the last movie she did. She's in Kill Bill, 2004.
She is?
Kill Bill 1 and 2.
Was she in Kill Bill?
Wait.
Daryl Hannah?
Yeah.
Wow, I don't
absolutely.
Remember. She must have been a great role. I don't remember her at all.
Let's see. What else since 1980? Oh, Roxanne.
Oh, that's a great movie with Steve
Legal,
Martin.
Legal Eagles. A Walk to Remember, a memorable movie.
The hell's that?
Grumpier Old Men.
Is she from Montana?
She's in my favorite Martian.
Is it?
Oh my God, that was a huge movie.
Is that why, is she from Montana? Is that why she's number one in Montana?
Yeah, I just totally, I don't see her as D-list. There's some other, in my opinion, some other non-D-list people. For example.
Well, like Angus T. Jones.
I don't know about Angus T. Jones.
You know who he is, right? The brat from Two and a Half Men.
Yeah.
Hasselhoff.
Hasselhoff is...
Why is Utah looking up Hasselhoff?
He's D-list-esque because of his music career, I think. I mean, Vern Troyer's a perfect D-list, for example.
For Michigan, yeah.
Yeah, Dustin Diamondang is perfect for Wisconsin. Jenny McCarthy for Illinois. Eh. Burt Ward, that's pretty good.
I'll be fine.
Anne Heshigan, that's an actress. Like, compared to Kate Gosselin for New York, that's perfect.
Pennsylvania.
Oh, Pennsylvania, yeah. Ricky Lake... What is that, Massachusetts?
That's New York for Ricky Lake. Oh, Massachusetts, God, Donnie Wahlberg. Willard Scott for Maine. What the f... In Maine? Willard Scott hasn't been dead for years? Oh, no, he just died recently, didn't he?
Is
Willard Scott alive? Died? He just died,
that's
didn't
a great one.
Yeah, he died a while ago.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
A while ago?
Can you check that up?
Not like forever ago, but...
Huh.
Kathy Griffin, is that Rhode Island?
Kathy Griffin is Rhode Island, yeah.
And is Piers Morgan...
Connecticut.
Wait, Piers Morgan's not a... He's not even an American. He's associated with a state.
Well, he's still searched.
Joey Lawrence is perfect. I can't even tell what state that's pointing to.
Delaware, it looks like.
Okay. Sorry, Chris Daughtry. I don't think Chris Daughtry's a D-list person. There's got to be somebody better for
North Carolina.
Lisa Gibbons for South Carolina. Stacey Dash for Georgia. Daisy Fuentes for Florida. Paula Deen.
My brother, every Christmas, used to give me the Daisy Fuentes calendar. For however many years the Daisy Fuentes calendar was out, which was probably only like 3 years, he got it for me for Christmas every year.
Lisa Marie Presley for Tennessee. That's pretty good.
Well, that makes sense, though.
Yeah. Kirk Cameron. Oh, God. Brian Austin Green for Texas. Gary Busey for Oklahoma. Tommy Chong.
I'm really surprised that one name like doesn't pop up more than once. You know? Like there isn't one D-list that's so popular. Well, I guess then they wouldn't be D-list.
Frankie Muniz. Mario Lopez for California.
He's not Dice, D-list, man. Dice he hosts, doesn't he host Extra?
Yeah, he's... that's where I think... Like, Vern Troyer to me is a perfect D-list. Yeah. Mario Lopez.
Well, or Tila perfect. Tequila.
Oh, where's she?
Hawaii. Or Omarosa. That's for absolutely Maryland. Perfect.
Oh, Omarosa. I love it. I'm surprised she gets searched that much to even lead a state.
Well, lately with Trump. How is she doing with their new job with the Trump campaign outreach to...
Oh, she's getting lots of Latino voters to switch to Trump.
Yeah, right. I wonder if she... Do you think she gets paid? That would be public knowledge, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure she's paid.
Well, let's look it up, man.
Oh, Craig Kilborn made it.
Yeah, from he's from Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
What has happened to Craig Kilborn, man? He had a nice career going at one time.
Wasn't he doing yogurt commercials last we checked?
He is doing a... He's got in a big campaign right now for I don't know what. But remember he made a rally, came back, he was going to do a little show. Yeah. We interviewed him.
Yeah, it lasted, six episodes. It was basically... Wasn't a sports show? Like the Daily Show, but sports version?
Is Willard Scott alive?
Yeah, I was just going to say.
He is alive?
I thought he was alive. I don't know why.
Was it?
He just retired. Yeah. That's what it is. Yeah. That's why I thought he died. Because he was never
it's
on,
such a bummer.
Really.
It's such a bummer when you're not sure if someone's dead.
He's 82.
It just says.
He's only 82.
Yeah.
There was the other name for Michigan that's not on the map because they have the whole list is Dave Coulier.
Oh, Dave Coulier.
It's Dave Coulier and Vern Troyer.
What a bummer for Dave.
Well, I mean, at least people are still wondering who he is or what he's doing.
But, you know, he was on a very big television show.
Ohio's is Anne Hage, like you mentioned, Nick Lachey, Drew Carey, and Richard Simmons.
Okay. I got quite a few. I just got a pile of stories that are all sort of just dumb stories, but they're all interesting as hell. For example, we think we're at the bottom of Dave Coulier net worth $4 million, by the way, for that D-lister.
Good for him.
We think we've reached conclusion as to what the estrangement of Aaron Rodgers from the Rodgers family.
Oh, really?
Which was so fleshed out on The Bachelor.
And?
It's Olivia Wilde. family hates Olivia Wilde.
Oh, okay.
His girlfriend.
Really? Why would you hate her? She's got apparently a pretty good personality.
She's very strong, and apparently every get-together with her and the family had some kind of, I guess there was some...
So the Rogers family can handle a strong female personality?
Not that one.
What about JoJo?
I don't know anything about her.
She's a strong female personality. Olivia Wilde? I've seen her on talk shows.
I honestly don't know anything about her personality. I know zero.
Is it Olivia Wilde or Olivia Munn? It's Olivia Munn.
I'm sorry. Olivia Munn.
Munn's on. She's done plenty of talk shows, and she comes across great.
Actually,
Olivia Wilde comes
across very well, too.
Yeah.
I think, for the most part. But, I mean, who knows these people in their private lives? Can you really...
No, but you know she's told plenty of stories about her background and her I think her mom's Chinese. Olivia Munn tells stories about her, so she comes across, I don't know, very friendly talking about her own family.
Celebrity net worth $12 million, by the way,
for Munn.
Yeah, here's what my leading suspicion about Olivia Munn being a little tricky to get along with is: she's been dating Aaron Rodgers for.
He's rubbing off on her?
Well, no. He's a dick. We know he's a dick. So the fact that she has been with this dick for quite a while says something about her.
Oh, yeah, that's an interesting
I don't know what it says.
She likes dick. Both literal and figurative.
No, I don't know. I just think he's an ass.
He is an ass. And if you ever meet him, tell him he's much taller in person. Is that what you're supposed to tell him? Or he's
you
much
thought
shorter
he was taller. Yeah, you thought he was taller.
If you ever meet Aaron Rodgers, go, hey, I thought you were taller. And then elbow him.
It happened on 60 Minutes, and he was openly pissed off at this guy. He was really pissed.
I've never seen an athlete more upset about their height than that. He's very sensitive.
It's not it's not like he's 5'3". I mean, what is he, 6'1"?
Yeah, but I think people expect the quarterback to be like 6'4", 6'5".
Yeah.
Like Tom Brady.
You've
been watching the Olympics?
Not as much as I probably should, go ahead. What's going on today?
You missed a nice titty in the water polo.
Oh.
Doesn't that happen all the time when the chicks play water polo? There's the underwater camera, and then there's a little jostling, and someone grabs the suit, and next thing you know, a boob pops out.
Is it really blatant?
What do you mean? Well, it wasn't like she was doing it on purpose. She wasn't trying to flash
the camera.
I mean,
did it just outright flop out, or is it just...
Yeah, you want to see it?
Oh, why not?
Let's see. Come on over here. I think it's her left breast.
Is it an attractive breast?
It's a breast, yeah. Here, get see it. See it hop. Oh, you missed it. Yeah, I'll back it up. She yanks it out here. Right there, where my pointer is. See it? Nice. You seem very unimpressed, Drew.
is that the biggest news? Is that the best story today?
Well, not in actual Olympic news. It's that the chicks won the gold for gymnastics.
I've been blown away by our swimmers. That's really the main thing I took away from yesterday.
Oh,
what our swimmers are doing. They all seem like great guys and girls.
Especially the swimmer, Lily King, who
I love
did
the
finger wave.
She beat that Soviet doper.
I know. Who, by the way, that Soviet doper's pretty hot. Did you think so?
Yeah, she's cute. She is.
I want to show you these other swimmers after they finished yesterday. I thought they were really, well, I'll let you figure out if there's something weird about it.
Oh, these two guys?
Yeah.
These are our guys, right?
One guy got a gold, one guy got a bronze. I believe it was backstroke.
By the way, I was reading about a 74-mile backup in traffic in Rio.
Really?
Yeah.
No one's going to the games. They're always empty.
They have the Olympic lane, of course, for the special Olympic officials.
Yeah, awesome.
Which is virtually empty, and they've got a 74-mile backup in the other two lanes, and they won't open this lane up.
Don't go. Turn around and go home. Because all you're going to get is Zika and feces anyway. All right, here's these dudes. Ryan Murphy and David Plummer. Backstroke. 100 meters.
Ryan, welcome to the club. The torch has officially been passed. What does it mean to you to join this group of very elite American backstrokers?
I mean, it's everything. Earlier on in this trip, we got a stack of letters from back sugars I've won here in the past.
When did the race end?
Exactly.
You know, the list goes on and on.
5 minutes ago? Ten minutes ago?
Really?
Support.
Is he really out of breath for 10 minutes ago?
He beat off after the race?
And, you know, to fall on the path that they set up for us.
Is he pounding off now?
Well, let's see. Maybe the bronze guy has had more time to catch his breath.
Just amazing. You know,
and I don't know if it's because it's swimming. And once again, I'm always amazed that these are the same species as me.
Dreams are coming.
And when you think of backstroke, I think of my fat ass just floating around in a pool. Like, it's very relaxing. You forget that it's an actual physical race.
Well, I mean,
and that they'd be out of breath.
It's exhausting. But 5 minutes ago,
I know. Weren't they unusually out of breath?
I thought so. I mean, it was the first thing that hit me.
The other highlight in primetime is I finally saw Seacrest.
Oh, I'd like to see a little secret.
It is the biggest waste of space, and it preceding it was about 6 minutes of commercials, and then after it was about six more minutes of commercials. So he's just a bridge between two really long breaks, which is about all Seacrest should do. Let's see. Where's it at? There's Rowdy Gaines.
Also, the Saudi judo competitor forfeited rather than going up against an Israeli.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
God, good.
A Saudi judo competitor forfeited her first round match at the Olympic Games to avoid going up against a rival from Israel. She's supposed to take on for the car. Saudi officials tweeted that she had injured an arm and leg, and medics told her to pull out, which, of course, is bullshit.
How stupid.
According to the Times of Israel, Channel Jimmer said she had dropped to avoid a fixture against an Israeli. Saudi and Israel have no official relations. The kingdom prohibits its citizens from traveling to Israel. It does not grant visas to Israelis. It's the Olympics.
Why are you in the Olympics then?
I mean,
why,
this
if
person,
there's a possibility you could go up against some country you don't like, then why are you in the Olympics?
She worked her ass off for 4 years. Kick her ass!
Yeah.
If you're upset with, I mean,
look how Lily King kicked Russia's ass by beating her in the swim.
Stop whining.
I mean, this is honestly one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. I just can't even, I feel like there's something here I'm not getting. I mean, it seems that, I doubt the girl decided this herself, put it that way.
Well, too bad Bill Clinton couldn't get them together. Like, who did he get together? Was it Rabin? And,
oh, yeah.
Get those two
or
together.
Jesse Jackson or whoever.
The Peace
somebody.
Talks.
By the way, Saudi only sends 4 women to the Olympics. Which
oh,
is,
God.
They,
nice
they
country.
They sent 2 last time.
Nice country.
Yeah, very progressive with the sexes.
I'm sure there are a lot of freedoms, too.
Oh, yeah. No, they're talking about letting them drive.
Speaking, yeah, what, was the guy have to be in the car at all times?
No, they have to get permission from their husband, and if they can't, if there's a male child who is old enough, the
serious?
Male child can, yes, we'll be able to give them permission.
How fucking stupid.
I know. How can any, I don't
it's
understand.
It's 2016, and that's a
yeah.
world-leading country.
And these women are loyal. They love this religion. They revere it.
I don't get it.
I was watching this. There's a show on, I'm not sure what network, it seems like a Bravo show, but it's not. It's called, it's sort of like Teen Mom, but it's Teen Marriage, I believe.
Mm.
Have you heard of the show?
Mm-mm.
And they follow these 4 couples who got married, and they're all, you know, from 16 to 19, basically. And this one couple, he's 22, and I think she's 18, and she has to become Muslim and take all these classes
And she wants to?
She wants to. And then it's revealed that when they get married, she can no longer show her hair, ever. And her mother is just, I mean, she's got beautiful hair, too. Beautiful long hair. And so they're like, oh, what are we going to do? And so finally she goes to him and says, you know, it's considered optional if the husband is okay with it.
Yeah.
And he says, no, I don't want you to show your hair. This guy was raised in Seattle, Washington.
Huh.
He's a fairly normal, seems like a fairly normal 22-year-old to me. And he says no, so she finds a wig that looks sort of like her hair, and that's what she does.
What a loophole.
I
can wear a wig that looks exactly like your hair.
What is the point?
That's ridiculous.
I know, it's just stupid.
That's like wearing a see-through shirt. I mean, what's the point? You're wearing a wig, and that's exactly what it looks like without the wig.
I know, it's...
I just like that she found a loophole in that religion. That's great.
Ludicrous.
Another forfeit story from the Olympics. I think it's the Ukrainian men decided they weren't going to compete as a team. They wanted to save their energy in gymnastics.
Yeah.
So they just walked up to like the bar, the high bar, The guy just jumps up, grabs it, and lets go, gets a zero. But what's, and then another guy did that with the horse, the whatever. He just jumps up, like lifts, or the parallel bars, just lifts himself up and then gets down just to take a zero so they can conserve energy. But the best part is when they get down, they do this. They go.
Like they complete, raise their arms?
Like they completed all their tricks. It's like, that's not a trick.
Well,
when you get a zero, why do you have to end it like you're all prim and proper?
Why can't they just forfeit?
Pull your dong out or something.
That guy took a zero.
I know.
Why not just say you forfeit?
Well, I guess you have to go out there or something. I don't know. It was really funny, though, watching these dudes. All right, here's Seacrest from last night. It's in prime time. This is all I saw of Ryan Seacrest.
Oh, Defenders, tomorrow,
soon
starting
two
at
commercial
5
breaks
on Local 4 News. Two-time gold medalist Peter Van Der Kay talks with Carmen, Bernie, and me about Michael Phelps' return to the pool and more.
I'm sure he wants
tomorrow
to talk about someone else.
Tomorrow at 7:30 on Local 4.
NBC's aerial coverage of the Olympic Games is sponsored by Nationwide.
They stuck him out on the beach
Nationwide
at night.
Nationwide is on your side.
He's not even at a venue.
Why even bother?
Kerry Walsh Jennings and April Ross getting ready for their second match of the Olympic Beach Volleyball Tournament. That is coming up in less than an hour. Hey, everybody, Ryan Seacrest here on Copacabana Beach after an amazing win in the 100-meter breaststroke by American Lily King. Incredible action in the pool
tonight.
See it. As you can see, we're making the most of our outdoor space. Ubiratan is one of the artists you often see along the beach, and he's going to make a masterpiece. It's not much yet, but it will be magical. I promise before the night is over. Coming up next, Michael Phelps is back in the pool after his big relay gold last night. This time, he's looking for redemption
yep,
in the 200-meter
butterfly. That's Ryan Seacrest's job
is
for
on
the Olympics.
Other side of the break, right here in Rio.
You know, he has nothing to say that's of any interest to anyone.
No.
He knows nothing about sports. He's not an athlete.
His contribution was a guy making a sandcastle. And it's not even at the end when you get to see what the sandcastle looks like. It's the beginning when he has a giant mound of sand.
Okay. Congratulations, Rai Rai.
Multi millionaire.
I just want to hear that Dick Clark drop.
Hey, Ryan.
Thank you, Ryan.
That very was Ryan.
Thank you, Ryan. Also, in my. Anything else in the Olympics?
Sure. Lady fell off the equestrian. A horse decided it wasn't going to jump, and she just went flying forward. That was a fun wipe.
That happens.
You want to see it?
Sure.
All right, it's over here. It's on this computer. Da, da, da,
da. I have to say I've watched more accidents than probably anything in the Olympics because I'm kind of watching the GMA coverage in the morning and stuff.
Yeah.
So, of course, you see the Dutch bicyclist who goes flying over her handlebars.
And then you saw the American gymnast who missed the high bar.
Yep.
Yeah. That
they came in fifth.
Oops.
That was a bummer. But our swimmers have really been the highlight. I mean, they've been amazing.
And our,
they're all
our female gymnasts.
Total class. Oh, yeah, a female gymnast got the gold.
I always forget that track and field's even an event because they don't do it till the end.
I know. I have no idea what encompasses.
All right, watch this horse get rid of this human.
Just walk the course. They thought this might be an issue. There are a lot of rollback turns. Ooh, that's the biggest issue right there.
Basically, that horse just said, fuck this.
And can you blame the horse?
No, it's got a human on its back. Any
I've
chance
always,
in it? Oh, there's
I've always
a
said about horse racing, why not just throw the human off? If the horses, as Mazaway says, if they know they're in a race and all that, then take the human off their back and let's see how fast they can really go.
Yeah, and what does a human do in equestrian? Just let them do the jumps by themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
Just let the horse run free.
The horse is jumping.
The horse the medal, too, by the way.
Right, the horse is going through all these jumps, and the human on top of the thing, making it twice as hard, gets the credit and gets the medal.
Hey, you just hit on something.
Bullshit.
I wonder if Mazaway defends equestrian and dressage in the Olympics.
Probably.
Since he loves horses so much and defends them in horse racing.
Did you see this Daily Mail story about, here's the headline, she's taken psychoness to a new level. Man shares the list of 10 rules his girlfriend gave him before his boys' trip to Magaluf.
What? Rules?
It's just a silly, it's a list that she gave him. But
why
of course,
why didn't he just play it and just go, I don't want to go then.
I think because he probably is going to ignore her.
Oh, okay.
But he put it on Facebook, I think. Anyway, it's received some incredible attention on social media. It's been retweeted, I think, 120,000 times.
What are some of her rules?
Okay. Whitney Travers from Edinburgh curated a 10-step rule book for boyfriend Kiernan Lumsden ahead of his jaunt abroad in hopes of putting him off getting up to anything mischievous. So,
where's he going?
I never heard of this. Mega Magaluf? M-A-G-A-L-U-F?
I don't know.
I don't know if it's like a little Caribbean island or where is it?
Spanish.
Oh, like, and is it the new Ibiza or something?
Sounds like it's a major holiday resort on the Spanish island of Majorca.
Huh.
Primarily catering for the British, Majorca? Russian, German, and Scandinavian package holiday market. So, here's her cute little, it's all different colored pens she
oh
made
my
her
gosh, okay.
list in and starts oh, with.
As if that takes the sting away from her rules.
Yeah. And he shared this on Twitter, which, of course, immediately got all these retweets. The book which he created using colorful pens, glitter, and palm tree illustrations began with rule one. Aww. Make sure your phone is charged at all times.
Yikes.
Phone me at least once a day.
Ugh.
Your second rule.
That's well.
Make sure your phone is charged.
Charged.
All times.
Sometimes you don't have control. Hell? You don't have control over that.
But you know,
he can call her once a day. That's fine.
He can't be worried about his phone being charged at all times.
No, that's no.
It's just crap. I mean, it's off to a horrible start.
Wait, they're just dating, right? This isn't like his bachelor party.
No.
Oh,
I don't think so.
Then, get over it.
Her second rule quite clearly conveyed her opinion on cheating, and she even made threats, writing, "No girls whatsoever. Don't look, don't talk. Do not touch.
Don't talk? Cheat, that's just rude.
Cheat and I will destroy everything. I will also make your life a living hell. Kim will be also told." I don't know who Kim is. That's his mom, maybe?
Yikes.
Rule three followed
can't
a similar...
Can't even talk to a girl?
No. Don't look,
not
don't
even
talk.
Look?
Do not touch. Exclamation point, exclamation point.
I hope he bangs a dude.
Rule three followed a similar theme.
That's all he can look and touch.
With Whitney warning a boyfriend, do not follow girls on social media.
Yikes.
She also warned him against getting any inkings, stating, tattoo equals you'll be checked when you get home.
Oh, equals nah. N-A-W? Nah.
Yes. Showing her caring side, rule five stated, don't mix drink. Drugs are for mugs. This drugs for mugs is a stupid thing to say.
It's in quotes, too, so drugs she's clearly attributing it to somebody else.
Six, seven, and eight reverted to the theme of avoiding the opposite sex with Whitney writing, if on boat party, no drinking games with the opposite sex.
That's redundant from rule number two.
Precisely. Stay in your own bed and don't buy girls drinks. That money can be spent on me. I mean, I just feel fuck you coming out of my mouth constantly during this thing. She also reminded Kiernan to text Kim, presumably his mother, every day. Text Kim every day. She'll be worrying. Rules. Can't Kim make her own list of rules?
Yeah.
Rule 10 again warned her beau against coming into contact with members of the opposite sex. You tell every girl about me, okay? If someone flirts, walk away.
He's not allowed to talk or even look at him.
So she basically
more redundant.
She has described every conversation he has with a female must either be about her or not at all. Tell everyone about
a little
about
controlling.
Me. When you signed off her rules with one final word of warning, no photos with random girls or SC stories. And added, have a nice flight. Stay safe. SC stories?
What's SC stories?
No anyone? Photos with random girls or SC stories.
I don't know. Snapchat. Oh,
Snapchat. Evan's
course.
Here. We needed a...
Millennial.
Yes, we need a millennial.
Millennials who aren't having sex? Did you know that?
Yeah. I don't know how much application that has here.
No, I'm just saying in general, millennials, they're not doing it.
One in three adults under age 45 still get financial help from mom and dad.
How many?
One in three adults under age 45 still get financial help from mom and dad. Man, is this a change? Because let me tell you.
Wait, so it's not taboo anymore? Because I'm unemployed. Maybe I should just get financial help from mom and dad.
Sure. Right. Well, you'll just be one third. You'll be part of a large group of people. Under age 45.
I'm too prideful.
I mean, I'd like to have this broken down.
Right now.
By, you know, under 25, under 35, under 45. How many 35 to 45-year-olds are getting
not
help
many.
From mom and dad?
Not many. So it has to be skewed by the younger sect.
And I always wonder how much help, because, you know, there was a story about millennials. God, millennials get a lot of shit PR, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
About millennials still getting help, and they were describing, for example, this girl who is an artist, and she lives in New York City. And basically, all her bills go right home to dad.
Well, she's an artist living in New York City. That doesn't add up. I mean, New York City's expensive. Do artists make a lot?
No.
They either make an obscene amount because they're super famous so they can live in New York City, or they have to be supported by their father.
She made, I remember, they printed her salary. And, of course, it's not a steady salary either, but I think she made like $16,000.
Why is she living in New York City then?
In New York City. And her rent, she lived with another girl, and they both had to pay like $1,800 a month.
Oh, man.
Like, because he wanted her to live somewhere safe.
Oh, well.
So.
As a dad, I can understand that. I mean, that's kind of the give and take of it then, I suppose. Because he wants her. He's offering. She's gonna take, right?
Oh yeah, I guess. If you don't have any more pride than that, but you know, it is a matter of pride, isn't it? When
yeah,
you're
100%.
Out of college, you know, you're supporting yourself.
Yeah, but Dad's gonna offer to keep her safe.
But isn't it a way sometimes for parents to just sort of stay, keep you under their thumb, and sort of doing things their way?
I don't know. I'll let you know in about 18 years.
Oh, okay. What do you plan? When do you plan to cut off your young child?
Now.
Now.
She deserves it. She's mean to me. She deserves to be cut off. I don't know. I want her to be successful.
Cut that off!
I think it's a pride from the parents' part, too, to be able to cut them off and they'll be all right.
Well, I don't even think she'd have to cut them off.
If they're a loser, though, it'd be hard.
Show a little pride.
So many, by the way, are complaining about college loans. Should you be complaining about your college loan when you're 40 years old?
40?
Should you maybe have dealt with that by then?
Yeah, I would think so.
Mom, this loan is weighing me down.
Like
Hinkley? Gotta help me.
Like Hinkley?
Yeah. Oh, did you see the Labrador that... picked up something kind of interesting on its walk.
What?
This is getting a lot of
dildo
action on.
You didn't even have to show me the photo.
It's a large black wow. Dildo.
Is there any other color? I thought they only came in black.
I don't know.
Honestly, why do they come in other colors?
I don't know. I haven't bought one in a while.
Galaxy's the name of the dog. The owner promptly placed the rubber item in the bin. After she used it?
Oh, yeah, I know.
Wait, it gets better. But the husband returned home from work with other ideas, and the next picture is him holding it to his buddy's face.
No, they auctioned it off.
Oh, they auctioned it off.
They auctioned it off.
Gross.
I know.
Oh, at a fundraiser. Well, it's for, you know.
Yeah, for charity.
For charity.
Lovely.
Who bought it? And the dildo that my dog found?
That dude.
Do I hear $100?
Oh, it was a prize or something. I
hear $200. Dog dildo. $300.
I've always said that... it used to be so nice, at least when you died, you knew that whatever secrets you held were safely tucked away. You never had to worry again.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever horrific things you did, they were either known or unknown, but as we've learned, never. You are never safe. Abraham Lincoln, we learn, is gay.
Yeah.
You know, just 5-6 years ago.
He developed his own style of sleeping, Lincoln style.
Or he liked homoing around anyway. He wasn't gay. He was bi, I guess.
Yeah.
He had action with dudes. It was in addition to his marriage.
All about equality.
To marry Todd. It was very difficult. Jefferson.
Liked to
bang his slaves. Had offspring with
Sally Hemings.
Sally Hemings, exactly. What was it that came out about Washington not too long ago? Stuff about Washington?
Washington. I don't know. What came out about Washington?
I don't know. There's been just a lot about...
His teeth are fake.
There's been an awful lot about people literally hundreds of years after they die that we find out.
Yeah.
And it completely alters their history.
Well, Martin Luther King and all those tapes that...
the FBI had or the CIA had.
J. Edgar Hoover had.
Chicks.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, supposedly there's apparently a lot of audio of that and a lot of chatter during the action at some point.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
About.
But who is it now? Who now are we finding out about?
Cary Grant was secretly gay. Cary Grant, the heartthrob.
Is that that big of a surprise?
No, I don't.
In old Hollywood, I just assume they all are.
It seems like it, doesn't it?
Yeah. Who is he gay with?
Some other actor. I mean, but he was married multiple times.
It'd be like saying some Greek philosopher was gay. I mean, I just assumed they all were.
I guess he was married to Diane Cannon. I think at the, don't know if that was his last marriage. He was married multiple times.
She was really young then,
too. Oh, yeah. She was way hot. I mean, now she's some old bag that goes to Lakers
games. Yes.
And, you know, she's still got the long, curly, blonde hair. You know, oh, who's that hot blonde? Oh, my God. She's 80. I mean, she's got to be.
So why is this coming out now? Why poor Cary Grant?
Let me...
Like, who's out to... Who needs a dollar?
Here, Hollywood legend Cary Grant was secretly gay and lived for a time with his lover, an Oscar-winning Australian costume designer, will allege in his new documentary.
Oh, wait. So the costume director needs some money.
It's based on... it's based on an autobiography by... what's the guy's name? Oh,
Doesn't matter.
So yeah, some dude.
The guy, his lover.
Although the book only hints at the relationship between the two, the film is quite categorical. Cary Grant, born Archibald Leach in England in 1904, married five times and none of his marriages lasted, prompting speculation about his sexuality, which had been boosted by his close friendship with actor Randolph Scott, with whom he shared a house for a decade.
All right.
Wait, if he shared a house with Randolph Scott for a decade, I mean, Hollywood
like
stars
and Rebozo.
Hollywood stars making millions don't need roommates.
Well, maybe he's lonely.
They don't need to share the rent.
It's his costume director or designer. Maybe he wanted to look good.
Of course he and Randolph Scott were getting it on. Why else would they live in a house for a decade? What about the head of the CIA, for Christ's sake, Hoover? Hoover goes on vacation with, what was his lover?
Oh, wait, name? Was that B.B. Rebozo? No, Rebozo was Nixon's buddy.
Yeah, they're holding hands under a table.
Hoover's buried next to this guy, right?
Yes.
And, of course, Hoover's got this really massive gravesite, and then his lover's got a real tiny plot.
Well, he was constantly investigating people for being gay. Yeah. I mean, he was a fanatic about knowing if anyone else was even remotely gay, probably so he could try and get it on with them. But Clive Tolson. He and Clive Tolson drove into work together every day.
Yeah.
They went to lunch together every day. Well, they went to dinner together every day. They drove home together every day. They went on vacation together. How could anyone even wonder, for Christ's sake? Neither of them ever had a girlfriend.
Maybe they're just pals. I come to your house every day. It doesn't mean anything.
But you've got a wife.
Oh, that's right.
These guys were never married. They never had girlfriends, and they went everywhere together. Come on.
Maybe they were asexual. What was the story with Nixon and Rebozo again?
I don't know. Nixon seemed very asexual,
yeah,
didn't he?
Yeah. Ugh. Can't picture him having sex at all or being hard. Imagine that guy being rock.
No. That movie with... Gross. Who played Nixon in that movie that was out about 10
Anthony years? Hopkins?
Yeah. I love when he rang the bell at the dinner table when he wanted Pat to bring him something.
I know.
I mean, he was such a prick. How could anyone be with that guy?
Big football fan, though, right?
Yeah, he wrote pals a play up for the Redskins.
Yeah, and he was pals with Woody Hayes.
George Allen. Yeah. Wisconsin cop had sex nearly 100 times while on the job. It's a great story.
Okay, cool.
Back in April, a woman filed a complaint against Officer John Warden, claiming the two had been seeing each other romantically for weeks while Warden was on duty.
What's the complaint for?
Because the relationship ended and she wanted to bust him. Woman was thinking about filing a restraining order, but the police department launched an internal investigation into Warden, who claimed the woman was stalking him. Nice. Nice try, anyway. The investigation revealed something quite different. In addition to nearly 100 instances of on-the-job sex, which the woman claimed regularly happened inside Warden's police SUV.
Oops.
And improper use of his department phone, the investigation found Warden falsified his work log 146 times, lied to supervisors, didn't meet performance expectations.
Cover up that's the problem.
He only wrote 25 tickets in the entirety of 2015. $63,000. He resigned after 8 years with the department and believes he'll never work in law enforcement again. I screwed up, told the Star Observer. It's ruined my life. It's unfair to someone meant to the media with details of his resignation. He says, yeah, whatever. So, we will take a break.
Everybody
set. We'll be back. It's Drew from Ferndale and Mark from Berkeley. More after this.
You're bloody Unigan, you are. You know that, don't you? Ready?
I'm waiting in my cold cell.
When the bell begins to chime, reflecting on my past life, and it doesn't have much time. 'Cause at 5 o'clock they take me to the gallows pole. Yeah, the sands of time for me are running
Okay, and we're back on the podcast with Drew from Ferndale and Mark from Berkeley. And we are going to get to talk to somebody I did not think we were going to get to talk to, and that is retired Officer Ramiro Martinez from Austin, Texas. He was one of the two officers who arrived at the top of the bell tower in 1966 when Charles Whitman was committing the first mass gun murder, really, in American history, the one that I think people point to as the starting point of this horrible phenomenon.
I heard Officer Ramirez is the one that got him.
He said that.
That's where I heard it from him.
We need to hear his side of the story desperately, because when reading the account on the 50-year anniversary...
So ridiculous.
Which is the day the open carry law went into effect, by the way.
On campus.
Ironically.
At University of Texas, yeah.
How ludicrous. How could anyone allow it to happen on that day?
I'm sure it was by design.
Well, anyway, we read the full account, and the way the account read, after this guy killed his mother and his wife, he went to the bell tower. He had tons of ammo and weaponry, and he started to shoot indiscriminately. He was a sniper, too, from the Army.
Yeah, uh-huh. That's why he was able to kill a bunch of people from up there.
17 people,
yeah,
and wounded, I think, 14. But the two cops that arrived up there, the first one was Ramiro Martinez, who we are going to speak to. He allegedly, according to the story, he emptied his weapon 6 shots, missing all of them. His partner, fortunately,
had a shotgun.
Got a better shot and hit him twice. It killed him.
Yep.
At which point, our interview subject, Mr. Ramirez, allegedly ran over to Charles Whitman, who was on the ground dead, shot him once in the arm and screamed, "I got him!"
Didn't a civilian get injured up there, too? They allowed a civilian to go up there with him? I know a civilian was allowed to go up there with him for some reason.
That's the way the story read.
I know there was a guy that went up there with them, and they ran into another guy who, unfortunately, his kid and his wife were murdered.
Oh, God.
By Whitman on the way up.
I saw a guy.
That's a civilian, right? Yeah.
Okay.
The big thing is Officer Ramirez got him.
Just want to be accurate. But this is all alleged in a very large piece that we ran over the other day. When we were fascinated, of course, by Officer Martinez, not because he missed him 6 times, but we thought it was intriguing that he would yell, "I got him," which all the other people heard. And that was when the coast was deemed clear and aid could be rendered to another gentleman that was up there who had been shot and who lost a couple people. So anyway, let's dial him up. We've been trying to get him for days. I was so fascinated by the story. I mean, it just seems strange that the shot in the arm from close, very close range, that would lead to the exclamation.
Hello.
Oh, got him. Oh, is this Officer Ramirez?
Martinez.
Martinez, I'm sorry. This is Drew and Mark calling from our podcast in Michigan. How are you doing, sir?
Doing fine, thank you.
Good. Of course, it was terribly sad to read about the tragic events of 50 years ago last week, but at the same time, a fascinating event. Can you tell us approximately when you got involved in it? Because I know it went on for quite a period of time.
Well, of course, I was off duty, and heard the news on television, and of course, after listening to it for a while, I called the police department and asked if they needed assistance, and they said they did, and they told me to go work traffic at the university, and of course, I got dressed, and by the time I got there, of course, about over 30 minutes had expired, and I saw that all the intersections were taken care of, so I decided on plan B to go into the tower and assist what I figured would be an assault squad already.
And that was a decision that you made on your own?
Yes.
Wow. So you sprung into action.
Well, you got to remember, back in those days, we did not have the communications that we have nowadays.
Of course.
We did not have any handheld radios. The policemen, when they got out of their car, they were on their own.
No walkie-talkies even?
No. Back in those days, we didn't see, people don't understand that they were... Handheld radios were just beginning to be in vogue back then.
I see. Huh. Well, I'm glad you clarified that.
Do you know why? Do you know why when you got there though that SWAT or whatever, SWAT didn't exist, whatever the response was, that you guys were the first ones there, the, you know, off-duty guys that just showed up?
Well, the problem was that there was nothing but chaos. If people would just listen to the radio transmissions for 90 minutes that it transpired, there was chaos, and there was a breakdown in leadership. Hmm. And that was one of the biggest problems.
So you had to take charge.
No organization, so to speak. So it had to be independent actions of the officers by themselves because, like I said, there was no organization or organized effort.
And, officer, it should also be pointed out that an event like this had never occurred, really, in American history. This is the first mass shooting that we had ever experienced.
That is correct.
Now, amazingly, a civilian came along with you. Who is Alan Crum, and when did you run into this guy and decide that, yeah, he's gonna take charge with us?
Okay. Yeah, he sprung into action as well.
Yes, well, the civilian, initially, he was working across the street from the
Alan Crum.
And he happened to witness one of the first victims, the newspaper boy, get shot off his bicycle. So he went over there to assist the boy and get him into the shade and get him under cover until an ambulance arrived. Once the ambulance arrived, it was at high noon, so he started looking for a pay telephone because back in those days, we did not have cell phones.
Wait, there were no cell phones then?
What?
Oh, my God.
Really? No. When did those come in vogue?
I'm a millennial. I had no idea.
No. But anyway, there were no cell phones. There were no phones. Just pay phones. So he was
were they
looking
rotary?
For, yeah.
Wow.
Probably, and what, so 10 cents?
Well, I think it was a nickel.
Nickel, okay.
I just thought it was a tin can and a string.
Yeah, local car was usually a nickel, and then, of course, you had to put in more coins if you wanted to call long distance.
Long distance, sure.
We're told long stories, yeah.
I remember that stuff a little bit.
So
I'm a dumb millennial, but I do remember.
So anyway, my dad told me. Alan Crum was looking for a phone, and he ran across an officer named Jerry Day. And Jerry Day and him went up the elevator. There was another officer already up there on the tower. I arrived. I had tried to use the telephone to call for an armored truck to pick up the wounded. But the lines were jammed, and so I could not make contact. So I got on the elevator, and I went up.
Was it a long wait for the elevator since the other guys were using it? That would be so, I mean, it's such a tense moment. You know, sitting there waiting for the elevator. I mean, did you think of using the stairs?
No. The elevators were quick.
Oh, okay.
And so I got on the elevator, said prayer, because there was so much shooting going on, and I didn't know if I was going to live or not.
Oh, wow.
And when the door opened at the top, I was facing a gun and a rifle. That was Jerry Day and Mr. Crum. They were pointing the guns at me, and I was pointing my gun at them. I got out.
Wait, I'm confused. They were pointing
because they didn't know who was getting off the elevator, right?
Oh, that's right. The elevator door opened, and I didn't know what was on the other side, so I had my gun ready.
Sure.
They had their guns ready.
I understand why you would be pointing your gun, but I just thought they would assume it was help because it was just the one person up there. But, you know, what do you know in a crazy situation like that?
Oh,
I mean, that was
we didn't know how many people were up there.
Right.
Poor communication.
That's true. No, it's...
I've heard.
Once I got out of the elevator, and I saw that the whole force, then I said, we got to secure this floor before we go any further because we didn't want somebody to come in up sneaking up behind us. So we checked all the offices. I found one office that was closed. The door was closed. I started pushing on it. Somebody inside said, who is it? I said, police. And they said, just a minute, and you could hear them unstack furniture.
What?
There was about a dozen people that had barricaded themselves in the office. Okay,
oh,
once
God.
That was taken care of, we got him out on the elevator, except one man came out.
Isn't Jermaine?
He had a pair of white women's shoes that were bloody and said, give me your gun and I'll go kill the SOB. He has killed my whole family.
That's the Gabor, right?
Yeah, that's Mr. Gabor.
Yeah.
And so, of course, I couldn't give him the gun, but he was trying to get my gun, so we had to wrestle him to the elevator. And when an elevator came up, then up shoved him and Jerry Day into the elevator, pushed the one button, and sent them down.
Oh, that was good. Get the civilians out of there.
But he wrestled you?
Well, he was trying, you know.
Wait, you said you sent Day down?
Yes.
He wasn't the civilian. Where's the civilian?
Okay, the civilian's standing there with his rifle. Okay. So I sent Day down with the Mr. Gabor. Then
you're in charge at this point.
Clearly.
Well, more or less.
Yeah, good.
Unofficially, yes.
Thank God.
And then Mr. Bub Cound, the intelligence officer from the state.
Yes, the one that was up
he
there.
He was on the phone trying to establish communications, and he was having problems. But anyway, I decided to go up the steps to go look for the sniper.
Wow.
That's when Mr. Crumb says, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going up there to look for the sniper." And he said, "You're not going alone." And I said, "Okay, well, come on." He says, "We'll do it service style. I cover you and you cover me." I said, "Very good."
Ramiro, I just want to point out,
badass civilian, man.
Your memory is incredible. I mean, obviously, it's like this was yesterday to you.
Well, you got to remember that this is ingrained in my brain.
Sure.
From day one, I have told the same story. If you want to hear it tomorrow, I'll tell you the same thing. Because, like I said, it's ingrained in there.
I'll just play back.
And I have told the same story for the last 50 years. Now,
okay.
When I went up the steps with Crumb behind me, we got to the first landing, and I could see this boy looking at me. He was dead. His tongue was protruding.
Oof.
I eased my way up to him. I looked around, and I saw that there's a woman dead next to him. That was his aunt. And then his mother was severely wounded, and she was drowning in her own blood. We had to turn her over to keep her from drowning. And then at the end was that little boy's brother.
Who turned her over? You or the civilian, Crumb?
I did. And then Crumb and I grabbed the other boy who was at the end. He was 18 years old. He was severely wounded. But he was conscious, and he said, "He's outside. He's up there." And so Crumb and I grabbed him and pulled him back because we still had to go one more flight of stairs.
Now, do you know his story, by the way, how he got up there, how he was wounded?
Well, they were all going up there to the observation deck, the whole family.
Yeah, just to check it out, just to look.
They were going up the steps when Whitman shot him with a shotgun. He opened up with a shotgun.
Yeah, I was kind of goofed up on time and how much time had passed, and it seems that everyone up there at that point would be people going up to render aid, but in essence, you're still rescuing people who were just going up there to observe.
They were shot first, I assume, before anybody else off the observation deck. Yeah.
Well, first of all, up there at the receptionist desk, we found the receptionist behind the couch. She was dying. She was severely wounded. And so that was the first one that he assaulted, the receptionist. And then the Gabors were coming up the stairs, and he opened up on them with a shotgun.
Ugh.
Before we got to to the last landing, the stairways were blocked with a desk. Before we got to the desk, Alan Crumb said, "Are we playing for keeps?" I said, "You're damn right we are." At that time, he says, "Well, I guess you better deputize me." That's when I found out he was a civilian.
Wait.
Oh, you didn't know he's a civilian until that moment.
You deputized him on the spot?
Well.
Did you have the authority to do that?
Yeah. When he said that, I told him, we had a formal ceremony. I said, "Consider yourself deputized." And that was it. And he smiled, and he seemed to be happy with that. Okay.
I'm just stunned that anyone would even be thinking of this at a time like that.
I mean, you're strict. You're by the book. That makes sense, I suppose. I wouldn't have thought of that.
Yeah, I'm stunned.
He was a civilian, but obviously, like you said, you didn't know that. I assume, because you were at home watching on TV, you're not in uniform either, are you?
Oh, yes. I got in a uniform before I went up there.
Okay. Now, why did you think he wasn't a civilian then, just because he was there?
Because, from the sheriff's department and some of the state plainclothesmen, they just wore plainclothes.
Okay. I got you.
I was pretty.
It's wild, man.
He's awfully aggressive, too. I mean, the balls he had.
I know. After you deputized Crumb, he didn't ask for, like, a badge or anything like he expected you to be carrying one around. Okay.
No. We just had a very informal ceremony right there.
Okay. I had the balls on both of you guys.
Still bizarre. Okay. The whole deputization thing is blowing my mind a little bit. But hey.
So Mike Gabor says he's out there and your adrenaline's pulsing. Did you get chills at that moment, or was it still full go?
Well, it was full go. I mean, no problem. You know, I just want to emphasize this. I was kind of like a robot.
Officer Robot.
Was fear. There was fear, but you just put that fear behind you, because if I said I wasn't scared, I'd either be a liar or a fool that needed a psychiatrist.
Can I just ask, how many gunshots you've heard at this point? I mean, approximately?
It was like a war. I mean, just going on. I mean, from the time I got out of my car and got on the campus, it was just constant shooting back and forth.
So, I mean, we're talking like 50 to 100 gunshots probably?
Well, let me tell you, he fired over 150 rounds.
Wow.
He had 700 rounds of ammunition up there.
What was he shooting with? Because you said he had a shotgun inside. What was he using up
there? Well, he had a shotgun, and he also had a 6mm Remington rifle with a scope. That's what he did his damage with.
Okay.
And he's a marksman, too, right?
He's a former Marine. He was a good shooter.
Oh, Marine. Okay.
Yeah. Wow.
Unreal.
Okay, so you guys get out there to the observation deck.
You got to remember that when he first started shooting at the observation deck, it's all the way around the tower, and he has about a 4-foot wall, which he could rest, his rifle, and aim and shoot. And so he was shooting a lot of people. Now,
did he have cover from you, though, from your vantage point?
Well, we were face-to-face later, but no, he didn't have any cover.
Okay.
But see, this was at first when he was shooting, when he did most of his damage.
Right.
He was shooting from behind the wall. Now, when the citizens and the police, because a lot of the detectives went home and got their deer rifles, started shooting up there, then he had to take cover. And what he did, each side of the tower, there are three drains. So he was reduced. Reduced the number of targets, but he had protection all the way around, you know, because he could shoot out of the drains. Anyway, when I got up there, Crum and I got up to the reception area.
Deputy Crum at this point.
Yeah, whatever you want to call
it. Little levity.
Mark, you're really pushing
it. I'm a cop, you idiot.
We could
look
out a window. We could see debris out there, like empty gun, rifle shells. And then there was only one door exiting out, and he had window panels on it. He had it barricaded with a dolly that he had used to take his equipment up there.
Oh, wow.
A dolly?
And while I was studying it to see how I was going to dislodge that dolly, a bullet hit the top right corner of the door and hit that little hydraulic cylinder that controls the door, you know. When I finally pushed and pushed and knocked the dolly back, I had to wait a while because I figured he might hear the dolly clanging, but evidently he didn't, because there was a lot of shooting going on. And you got to remember, there was a lot of buildings there at the university, and when somebody fired, it echoed back and forth. It bounced, kind of like rolling thunder.
Wow.
And it was just a lot of noise, a lot of gunfire.
Officer Martinez, can you tell us at this point, how far is Whitman from you?
I don't know. I didn't know where he was, but he was at the extreme other corner.
Okay. Can you ballpark it? I mean, we're talking 30 yards maybe, or?
Well, you had to go about 40 feet in one direction and then about 50 feet in the other direction.
About 30 yards.
All this shooting has been going on. I get out, and I can look to the southwest corner. I cannot see him. So I go to the other corner and look. I couldn't see him in those two directions. So I got Mr. Crum out. And I said, now you aim your rifle right over here. And I put it to the west wall. Southwest wall. And I said, you aim your rifle there. And if you see him come around, shoot him, because I'm going to go look for him. So I left and I started going north. Now, I had gone over halfway when, for some reason, I turned around and I looked back, and there was Houston McCoy, another police officer, and he had a shotgun. And I saw he was standing straight up, so I motioned him to lower down, and he didn't understand my signals, but a couple of bullets hit above him.
Whoa.
And he got the message.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
The bullets would crack, you know, over my head, hit the wall and then showers down with little particles and dust. And but anyway, once I saw that he was safe, then I went all the way down to the corner. And I looked towards the other corner, but I could not see all the way because of the protrusions from the clock support. So I eased myself up to the protrusion, and then I looked around, and I saw the sniper sitting position, aiming the rifle at the southwest wall. And I was afraid that Mr. Crum had left his position, and he was drawing the bead on him. The sniper at the time had an M1 carbine. I recognized it right away because I carried one in the Army. Now, unbeknownst to me, Mr. Crum was not familiar with the rifle. It wasn't his. And he was fiddling around with it, and he discharged the firearm. And it went and hit the wall in the southwest corner.
Whoa. Wait, he accidentally discharged it?
Yes. And that was lucky for me because that got the attention of the sniper. That's why he was aiming his rifle over there.
Oh.
Or else he might have seen me when I exposed myself. I opened fire, and I shot at body mass on the left side. And I could tell that I made impact on him because of the way he reacted.
You hit him?
Yes.
And then
he jumped up in the air trying to bring that carbine around, and I kept firing at him, and I could see that I was making impact.
With your revolver?
Yes,
okay.
Because he could not bring the rifle down enough to shoot at me.
How many times did you hit him?
Well, that's a debate that other people say that I missed all six shots.
What? What? Who said that?
Well, it's something else that... But I'll clarify that.
I was aware of that. That was reported that way.
Well, there's some people that are jealous, okay?
Oh, really?
Don't tell me it's Deputy Crum.
No.
I know.
Oh, okay.
Crum is excellent.
Okay.
But anyway.
Deputy Crum.
But he's a new kid on the block.
Yeah.
I was shooting.
Excellent. Even
and I could see that he was reacting
accident.
Because I was impacting him. If I hadn't been hitting him, he would have shot me. And I kept hollering at McCoy to shoot, and he finally, I didn't hear his first shot, but I heard his second shot, which hit him, and by that time, my gun was empty. I dropped my gun. The sniper was going down. I reached back, and I grabbed the shotgun from McCoy, and I went up there, and I shot one more time because he still had the carbine on his right hand.
Can I just ask one question, sir? Why did you grab McCoy's shotgun? I mean, it seems like McCoy, couldn't he have just run up there and himself?
Well, I wanted to make sure.
Okay.
I wasn't going to take anything for granted.
Was he too scared to go over there?
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to say that.
I wouldn't blame him.
But anyway, I'm not going to say that.
Okay.
Was he lazy?
I just ripped the shotgun from him, and I shot him one more time. And now, once he was dead, I started waving the shotgun, asking the people down below, hollering at people to stop shooting, but they couldn't hear.
Yeah, poor communications.
They continued to shoot.
No walkie-talkies.
And, I dropped the shotgun.
For Johnson.
I got my pistol. Got my pistol, put it in my holster, and got the hell out of there. McCoy was at that time going through the clothing of the sniper, trying to find identification.
Wait, why did you
McCoy's over there?
Why did you leave?
Because at the time when he was dead, the adrenaline stopped pumping. I felt the fatigue, I felt the heat, I felt the stress, and my knees started buckling.
Yeah.
And I was afraid that I was going to go down my knees.
But now, allegedly, you yelled, "I got him," at some point.
Well, I don't know if I hollered, "I got him, we got him," or what. Mm. I don't remember.
I got him.
But I did holler because I was hollering at those people down below.
Right.
Oh, so they heard, "I got him."
Well,
but that wasn't what you were yelling.
Not down below, they couldn't hear me. It was might have been McCoy that said that.
Oh, okay.
But, what is with McCoy, man?
Yeah, if you got him, and he get him or did you get him? Who got him?
He freezes, can't hit the final blow, and then he goes through all his belongings like some psycho.
Well, we both got him. Okay.
Oh,
okay.
Okay, we both did it. We both completed our mission. Our objective was to stop the shooter, and we did.
No, it's incredible, and that's all that matters. Really,
story.
How many lives were saved at that point?
Where's Deputy Crum at this time after you got him?
Okay. Okay, he was still in his position. Now, what happened then? Oh. I left and I went.
God. Sorry.
Oh. I went to the left. I mean, I know that there were four other officers that had come up behind McCoy. And when I got to the door, when I was going to go out the door, there was only one officer there, and his name was Connor. And he almost shot me, you know, because he was surprised seeing me come from that side. Because everybody had gone in the direction where I had gone.
Mm-hmm.
They had followed McCoy.
Yeah.
And so Day was back behind me, I mean, behind McCoy and Crum and I don't know who else. And all the other three that had come up there, they were all over there. I didn't get to see them. The only one I saw was Connor at the door when I went back in to go get in the elevator and get out of there.
Oh, my God.
And I was met by Lieutenant Merle Wells, head of homicide, mm-hmm. and Lieutenant Morgan.
Head of homicide.
Yeah, well, yes. One was homicide and the other was theft.
Homicide?
But anyway, they grabbed me because they thought I was wounded homicide. Because I had blood on my shirt.
Wait, can we just backtrack just a minute? Because, you know, this fascination about who actually killed him, it really doesn't matter because you guys got the job done. You both were incredibly brave, and I'm sure you got commendations for this. You must have. But just knowing how this was reported and then hearing you tell the story...
Totally different.
It's very different, and it's fascinating. And you said that there was jealousy involved. And I'm just wondering, where does this jealousy come from? Because if you and McCoy, it seems to me, were you guys happy to share the credit? Or was somebody, okay. Did you feel someone else was trying to get the sole credit?
I'll come back to that in just a second. Let me just say this.
All right.
When the lieutenants saw me, they thought I was wounded, and they tried to put me in the ambulance. I said, no,
an hour ago.
I'm okay. And so I left. And the lieutenant says, you got to go to the police station and start the paperwork. I said, okay. And,
oh, my God, the paperwork.
Is this the homicide lieutenant?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so he assigned a detective, Johnny Pope, to take me to the police station.
Mm-hmm.
And I reported to the chief and the city councilman there. I told him what had happened. When I said there were four guys that came up behind McCoy, when they followed McCoy around, and I didn't see them, but... One of them had a handheld radio because they had come from the police station. And he said, Unit 34 to headquarters, we got that man. Martinez got him.
Hey, all right.
And he received the information from McCoy.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's not McCoy. Jealousy is not coming from McCoy.
Okay, no. Just wait a while.
Yeah.
There's more to the story.
Okay. We do have a time issue. Unfortunately, we have to take a break in about 2.5 minutes. So,
okay.
Just try to be aware of that. It's an incredible story. I can't believe the way you tell the story. It's amazing.
Okay.
But this is the thing. We were very interested in this part of the story.
Okay.
There's a postscript, too, we have to ask about.
The thing about it is...
You don't have to.
Where all of this comes up is that McCoy was the one that got the call originally at 11:54 a.m. He got the call, man on top of the tower shooting. McCoy went to the scene... He went to the tower. He got out of the car with his shotgun. He looked up, and he said, I looked up there, and I could see a Black Panther out of every window with a rifle. He says, the revolution has started. This was bigger than me. So he jumped back in his car and took off.
What?
That's right. And then he went on the campus looking for somebody with a rifle and a scope. He found a young man. And he said that he had a rifle and a scope, but he was in his apartment. So he got him in his patrol car and took him to the apartment. They got the rifle, and then McCoy took him to Everett's Hardware Store, and they charged 2 or 3 boxes of ammunition to the city. That's documented. Then he returned back to the university campus, and they tried to get through, look through the scope. McCoy couldn't do it, so he let the young man there. And he says, if you see him, shoot him. Shoot the shit out of him. That's exactly what he
said. Whoa. Wow.
Then
apparently
he left.
He left.
And he found another student, had a rifle and a scope, but no ammunition. So he puts him in his car.
No.
And he goes to every hardware store.
No.
And they charge some more ammunition. And he brings them back. Now, he had wasted about 40 minutes. Now, when returned, then he got a call to go to the university campus security because
we needed to know this.
The other four guys that were coming in Unit 34 to meet him there, and they were going to be led through tunnels, underground tunnels, utility tunnels, to the tower.
Okay.
And that's how they got there.
Wow.
And they came up behind me and Crum and all the others.
And that's how you were united with McCoy.
Deputy.
To,
yes. Crum.
To share in this incredible takedown of the most dangerous man in the history of America at that point, Charles Whitman.
Okay.
And
now,
I'm still, we just have just a brief minute left. Unfortunately, we're up against a commercial break.
Okay.
In fact, we've already skipped many of them already because this story is so incredible. And the way you tell it, I'm just blown away by the detail. It's amazing. After all this time, but I'm so glad you're able to tell us. I still am confused as to whose jealousy has led to the misreportage of what happened here. How dare somebody say that you missed him six times and then ran up and shot him in the arm and said, I got him, after McCoy had killed him? How could somebody say that?
Okay, here's the problem.
Unless it was McCoy.
This was McCoy because he was having some problems, okay? There's a documentary that's going to be shown on the 21st of October.
Oh.
And it shows McCoy there. And his daughter did a video of him shortly before he died. Oh. And he says, shoulda, coulda, woulda. He says, if I had gone up there when I was there, Billy Speed, the police officer that got killed, would probably still be alive, as would others.
And yeah, because he left the guy with the scope and the gun and the ammo.
Yeah.
I forgot why he left him.
And you can see that he is torn up, and I think that bothered him the rest of his life.
Oh.
I mean, that's just my opinion.
Wow. That's terrible.
That sucks.
And he had to live with that.
And the lie.
He made that statement that I had missed all six shots, and if it hadn't been for him, I would be dead.
McCoy said that?
McCoy.
Said that you missed.
So he's trying to make up for his embarrassment by kind of being the hero that got Whitman, right?
Well, I assume so.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense now.
Wow, but, you know, I'm disappointed that the story we read, and again, we're up against this commercial break, which sucks. I'm still stunned that this would be reported and that they wouldn't say, however, Officer Ramiro Martinez says that we both shot him and, you know, and that's that. I mean, why wouldn't we hear your side of that story in the story that we did read, which is from, where was that from, Mark?
I don't know. I think it was from a book.
Yeah, that new book.
Yeah, that piece
that
of
new
crap.
Book, you know, those guys never interviewed me. They didn't even, I'm alive. And
what?
I'm out here.
They interviewed McCoy's daughter and they don't interview you?
Yeah, that's right. They didn't interview me.
Oh, that's a load of crap.
And the daughter is one of the instigators and she wasn't even born then.
Wow.
But this happened, you know?
Now, are you upset with his daughter for popping off like that?
Hey, I can understand that she loves her daddy and she wants to protect
her. Yeah, she didn't know. Okay. Now, is Deputy Crum, is he still with us or did he pass?
No, he passed away in 2001 in Las Vegas. Okay.
Now, this is going to be a ridiculous question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Did Deputy Crum become a deputy? Did he get a uniform?
No.
At that moment.
No.
Down the road, the next day, like the next week.
No. Matter. He's already deputized.
No. What happened was
Martinez.
You get a car?
The chief police of police
car?
Offered him to pay him for a day's wages, and Crum said no.
Well, that's
no
almost insulting at that point.
I know,
a day's wages. Oh,
my God.
For being a hero with you?
Listen, if you give me your email address,
oh boy.
Okay.
I will send you something right away.
Oh, cool. Could you? That'd be great. I'm going to put you on hold with Jay in just a minute. Mark, do you have a question?
One more post.
Elicit a brief answer.
And I don't know if this came from the same lies or whatever, but there was that movie, The Deadly Tower, and you had to sue them because they misrepresented your wife as an angry Hispanic, and she was really a beautiful, blonde-haired, blue-eyed German woman.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yes.
Well, what were they thinking?
Well, they're idiots.
Wow.
Were you happy with the guy that played you, though?
I could care less. I wasn't looking for anything.
Well, I saw Ned Beatty played Deputy Crum. Did Deputy Crum look like Ned Beatty?
Oh, I think they did a disservice to him.
Yeah.
They made him look like a bozo.
Oh, really?
Oh.
I mean, the way I saw it.
Huh. Well, that movie just sounds like a total disaster.
It was.
Yeah.
And do you recall, you don't know who played you, do you?
No, I don't.
Okay. How strange is that to see history played out in a movie like that when you know exactly what happened and then you see this Hollywood version? How upsetting was that? Obviously, you sued. It must have been terribly upsetting.
Very
Yeah. But, well, at least they got it right.
But like I tell you, this documentary that's going to be coming out, it'll be on PBS.
Are we going to have to hear from McCoy's daughter in this thing?
No.
Oh, good. Because, you know, we know what she says. We know she wasn't there, too.
Yeah.
That's right. She wasn't born.
No. Yeah. Wow.
So does she know?
Officer.
If you give me an email address, I'll send you the 22-page document that I have come up with.
Oh, cool. Okay, I'm going to put you on hold with Jay, and Jay's going to give you the email address. Officer, I assume you're retired now?
Yes, I am.
Thank you so much for telling this story and straightening this out. You know, it's a we just read the version we read, and we were fascinated by it, but at the same time, we were really excited to hear your side.
And you have a book, too. Do you want to plug your book?
Well, probably I do have a book, pages. But I'm letting the former Texas Ranger Foundation
excellent.
Sell my books because so that they can raise money. I gave them
oh, that's the great. Books. And it's called They Call Me Ranger Ray.
That's right.
All right. Wow.
Beautiful.
Thank you, sir.
It's a great story.
Yeah, and thank you for your service, too, for helping to eliminate this horrible threat.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. Hang on. Jay will be right with you.
Okay.
Wow.
Bye-bye.
Wow. That is a long story, but quite well told.
What a perfect drop. What a perfect drop.
It is a little windy. It's an I was on the edge of my seat a few times.
There were
I
couple
mean, clearly when he deputized the civilian.
Tess and Evan were here. They've cleared
bolted?
Out.
Bolted? Oh, man.
They bolted. They're so gone.
Well, there were some dead spots in his story.
They didn't really know the story up front. They don't have the fascination we have for
the story. And if you download the podcast, you can skip forward.
And Evan's a millennial.
And you can skip backward. I thought that was a fascinating story.
It was. Yeah, there was. I would, if I had to coach him, I would say a little lighter on the details, please.
Yeah, I don't think we needed the full layout of what the tower looked like. But some of that was our fault for asking this question. Well, my fault.
The McCoy story about him going for the rifle, I still am stunned. Why would he
there's clearly
leave this guy with the rifle and the ammo? Why did he go for the second rifle?
Wait. Why didn't Ramirez go for the second rifle?
No, McCoy, before he went up there... He went scowling to find the rifle. Finds the guy with the rifle, goes to every hardware store to get the ammo. I mean, this seems like days are going by while he's doing all this stuff. And he charges it to the department or whatever. And then he leaves the guy with the rifle and the scope and the ammo and goes and finds another rifle.
It does seem a little...
And runs around to the hardware stores and charges up the ammo. What the fuck was wrong with the first rifle?
Well, if that's true, I mean, we are just taking Ramirez's version.
Well, I'm happy with his verdict.
That sucks. I mean, they took down this horrible threat, and yet there's bad blood over who gets all the credit. Although I don't think Ramirez really cares.
They trash
much.
His wife.
Well, the movie did. You want to see the guy that played him?
Yeah,
Richard Yenguez. He's been in a bunch of TV stuff. I don't recognize this guy. I've never seen him, but he kind of looks like Ramirez. I'll show you a picture of.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, see that guy. And here's the real guy we just talked to. Ranger Ramiro Martinez. See? That's him from a while ago.
Oh, wow. He's a studly looking dude.
So that's not a bad... I mean, this is what the guy would have looked like when he was playing him. That's not a bad casting.
No, not at all.
2-star review on his book. Should we read it?
Ah, oh, boy.
Hey, there's no 1-stars. It's just a 2-star review.
That's okay.
Oh, boy. Missed all 6 shots he took at Whitman, while Officer McCoy remained steady on the steel and finished the job.
Wait, this is Ramiro's book, isn't it?
Yeah, the guy gave Ramiro's book 2 stars.
Wait, why is he talking about the 6 missed shots when Ramiro was correcting, allegedly?
He's reviewing Ramiro's book.
Oh,
he gave it 2 stars. He's basically saying he's a liar.
Oh, man.
I know, but that, all he does is copy and paste Wikipedia.
How much backup is there for the Ramiro version? It seems not that much. I mean, I'm just saying. I mean, the story we read was pretty clear. There doesn't seem to be any doubt.
Hey, they're all heroes.
This guy's repeating it. Oh, no, they're all heroes. Anybody that was up there is crazy brave.
It does seem insane, though. That
including
I got him, although he didn't really put that part of the story to rest.
Deputy Crumb. Wait, Crumb, right?
Yeah. Yeah, Deputy Crumb, played by Ned Beatty in the movie The Deadly Tower.
Wait, I thought Beatty played McCoy.
No, Deputy Crumb.
I don't understand why Crumb didn't get a uniform and a car the next day.
When did he ever get his badge?
He was deputized by...
How insulting. We'll give you a day's pay. The worst one of the worst days in American history.
At least double pay or something.
Yeah, I know. God. The guy's a civilian and he puts his life at risk and they offer a day's pay.
Why did he deputize?
I don't know.
I mean, it sounded so...
I'm glad he did, though, because it was the best part of the story.
It was so rubble-esque.
So what?
Rubble-esque. I mean, tell me. Because when you think of deputizing someone, if you don't think of Barney Rubble deputizing Gomer and Goober, I don't know what else else you think about.
Barney Fife, not Barney Rubble's Flintstone.
Barney Rubble. Yeah. Rubble-esque. Fife-esque.
Barney-esque.
Rubble-esque, what the hell? Oh, my God. Okay, Fife-esque.
I want to see this. All right, here's Ned
Barney,
Beatty.
Barney Fife deputized Goober and Gomer in one episode of Andy Griffith. And I think there was a couple other episodes, maybe, where they were deputized. Otherwise, I've never heard of that being done.
You want to see a badass?
Oh, Otis Campbell.
Yeah.
He was was he deputized? He was.
The feds were bringing in the armored vehicle.
Okay, hold on, Jay, here.
I think it was the episode where they had the armored truck that was coming through Mayberry. And they needed, I don't know. Well, no, Andy was there too, though, so maybe it's a different one. But there was one where they had an armored vehicle going through town, and I thought that's where they deputized people. I might have the wrong episode, though.
I just saw a picture.
Deputize Otis because they were trying to get Otis not to be a drunk. And so,
oh, that was his way of straightening up.
Wasn't it because his brother was coming into town and he had to look like important? He was a big shot.
Cool. And then his brother not being a drunk too, didn't he?
Yeah. That was
Now I'm kind of confused too because I'm thinking, did they deputize Ernest T. Bass?
No,
they tried to clean his act up though. They tried to make him all. They tried to teach him manners.
They loaned him one of Barney's uniforms because he wanted to get married and he had to have a uniform.
Ernest C. Bass?
Yeah.
I was just looking at a picture of Alan Crum. I'm sorry, Deputy Crum. Ned Beatty to play him seems ridiculous.
Well, I'm thinking he's fat right off the bat.
But he's not really. Here's a couple.
You could even say, like, you know, if you want to take Beatty even further to the Deliverance land, you could.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you think about when you think of Ned Beatty besides him getting it in Deliverance?
Deliverance, or he was in. Wasn't he in Superman? Wasn't he Lex Luthor?
Oh, he's in a ton of stuff. Yeah. Actually, he's in a ton of stuff. I love that joke.
Anything like him, though.
Which has been around forever. Of Ned Beatty, the day they were going to shoot that comic, going, "Hey, I missed a few pages of my script. What's going on?"
Wow, what a story.
I know.
Jay, crazy. How'd you get off the phone so fast with him? You were only on the phone with him for like 2 seconds. Next thing you know, Jay's back already.
Jay
didn't ask him any questions. That's how he got back so quick.
I had to get Jay to back off Dreamweaver. I just
it
really fit, but it's a tough story. It's one of those, you know, it's one of those ones where I know we're gonna get an email going, "How dare you make a joke?" No, we didn't make a joke.
Oh, please, we'll get five that'll say, "Hey, what took so long to get Dreamweaver played?"
No, there were some humor options in there, and some were taken, and rightfully so. You got to sprinkle something that intense with a little bit of. And he even said it himself. He laughed.
He laughed at the Deputy Crumb.
But a day's pay for the Crumbster.
Bullshit, man.
His email has arrived, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Oh, really? Oh, my God, man.
He's
intense. And I do believe he would tell that story the exact same way tomorrow. Not that I'm going to hear it or need to hear it.
And
wow.
What did he have to send?
22 page document.
Yep.
Oh boy. Of course, it's 22 pages.
You know who we were supposed to talk to today, and I'm actually kind of bummed out, was Stu from the what was his organization called?
Why Not Tebow.
Oh, Why Not Tebow, right.
Yeah.
When Stu was a huge Jacksonville Jaguars fan. He started this Why Not Tebow operation. Mm-hmm. They actually raised money. He's such a Tebow fan. And I can't remember if he was just like a huge Florida Gator fan
He was.
Amok.
And he hated, he just didn't like the Jaguars too. That was the whole point of why not? Because the Jaguars suck so bad.
Right. And also their quarterbacks were not good. And so they raised money. They actually flew banners over practice and over games, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And what else did they spend money on? Because they spent significant funds.
I think most of it was
Tebow.
I think they just had a lot of big plans. Remember the plan to dress up, have people dress up like Tebow and go out on the field?
Oh, yeah, run out on the field at the end of the third quarter.
Yeah.
Which did not happen. That didn't happen, did it?
No, it never. We would have remembered if it happened.
But he thought they were going to influence the GM into signing Tebow, when the truth of the matter is, as soon as that operation started and became a thing of any significance, there was no way they were going to sign Tebow.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise it would look like this guy, Stu, and why not Tebow, had influenced, you know, roster decisions. There was no way they're going to do that. Plus, Tebow was so dubious anyway.
Yeah.
But the news today about Tebow is that Tebow has been working out for a year. He wants to be a Major League Baseball player.
As if it's that easy.
Yeah, he's 29 years old. Mark had some clips over in your computer of Tebow taking BP. I got to say, he looks like he's got some good bat speed. He was hitting the tar out of the ball. But it was not against Major League pitching, and I just have to wonder.
I didn't like his stance.
Well, he didn't seem to have any stride at all.
No. He's got a very wide base.
Yeah, it's all just a bizarre story.
It's all upper body.
Yeah, anyway, we're trying to get...
I hope he does it, though. I don't know why.
It's kind of a cool story, if it has any legs at all.
I believe he was All-State in high school for baseball.
Tim Tebow, celebrity net worth, $4 million.
Wait, what, do you have celebrity net worth open? You've mentioned it like 8 times today.
Well, it's always nice to find out. I mean, we talked about celebrity net worth, how I get stuck in there, and I just start looking up all these people. And Tim Tebow, I would have thought he had more than that, to be honest.
How much?
$4 million.
That's probably about right.
But hasn't he written a couple books? And
yeah,
it just seems like Tebow fans will buy anything with Tebow on it.
He must not get paid a lot to circ.
No,
he circs all the time.
It's volunteer work.
Oh, that's right. So he gets no pay for
charity
circs.
Circumcision work.
No pay. There's just no pay in circs anymore, is there?
No.
Not enough people are getting circed anymore.
What? Michael Phelps, celebrity net worth $55 million.
That seems about right, right?
Wow. Yeah,
he's been
I guess
an Olympian
so.
Forever.
Crazy. So anyway, why not Tebow? But Stu, I don't think Stu got our message, because I believe Stu would have been all over us to talk about Tebow.
And I would have thought so too.
And he would have told us how great a player he was in high school, and that he gave up football or gave up baseball. To play for Florida, and he could have been a two sport player at Florida, but he was so important to the football team that he could not devote the time necessary to play baseball, and therefore, Stu will suggest that Tebow has a shot to play in the big leagues. I predict, but that'll have to wait till tomorrow.
We haven't even mentioned Prince Fielder today.
Oh, yes.
I mean that's the big sports news. Prince Fielder not retiring. Like when it first came out, it said he was retiring. But basically, his neck is so messed up. He had another surgery, his second one on his neck, that he's done. Career's over. I forget what the actual designation that they use for him is. Now, for Tiger fans, that's of interest because it's not his choice.
Right.
It's not his choice to retire. It's, you know, it's medical that they still owe him the $26 million.
The Rangers.
The Tigers are paying.
The Tigers still owe the chunk that they owe from the trade.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that doesn't matter.
So it doesn't really. It's not really applicable.
They have to pay it either way.
Yeah. If he was playing, they'd still have to play it. So it really doesn't affect them. I think a lot of people right away thought, "Oh, great, Tigers get that money back because it counts against the luxury tax, that $5 million a year or whatever."
All this does is point out what a fantastic trade Dombrowski pulled off by getting Kinsler for Prince Fielder.
You know, he had 55 home runs with the Tigers in his 2 years, right?
Yep.
How many home runs do you think Prince Fielder had with Texas in 3 years?
I'm going to guess.
And he was an all-star. He was an all-star in his one healthy year there.
33.
Yeah, 34 total home runs.
Wow. Boy, that was close.
That worked out really well.
Prince Fielder, celebrity net worth $60 million, by the way.
And, of course, Prince,
a lot more to come. He has a 9-year deal worth $214 million.
And the fun stat everyone likes to throw out is that Prince and his dad, Cecil, both finished their career with 319 home runs each.
Wow. He had 319 home runs in that shortened career. How old is Prince Fielder?
32. See, that's what's weird. He has to retire at 32 because of his neck problems.
He missed virtually...
two out of the last 3 years.
Two out of the last 3 years. So he should be somewhere in the 380, 385 home run range.
Yeah.
And with, I don't know, fast forward 5 more years and say 35 homers a year, he's in the 540s, 550s.
Yeah, easily.
And then maybe a bunch more if he's healthy. But that was the objection.
Average to over 30 home runs a season, right?
Oh, yeah. He had 50, home runs once.
Yeah.
He had 46 another year. But the problem was with his size, even though he had a history of playing virtually every game for Milwaukee, and with the Tigers, he played 161 games, I think.
He never missed a game with the Tigers.
He never missed a game. That's 162
amazing. Both years.
But the fear was that that long deal with that big body that he was going to break down, that was too long a deal, and it was going to be a painful thing once you got in your 6, 7, 8, 9 possibly.
Now, how much do you put on the, I got kids, man? I mean, that he did not help himself out with the fans here. I don't think
he had to go.
Yeah, that was the big part of it. Well, that and the whole Vasiel Garcia thing.
Oh, that.
I think that was
not his fault.
No, but I think that was a big part of it.
Well, except that Garcia was sent packing.
Yeah.
I think he could have survived that. But when
But the whole thing of him being here in Detroit, it's kind of a, well.
Fielder went, I think his last, oh my God, how many games was it? I want to say his last 13 or 14 postseason games, he didn't drive in a run.
He's never been a good postseason player.
His stats were abysmal. And they were horrible in that Boston series, which is his final series.
That's where the big infamous flop was, going back to third base, right? Well, that was against Boston, right?
That was against San Francisco.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, that was in the World Series.
Oh, that's right.
The year before.
Oh, balls, my fault.
He didn't hit well in that postseason.
He's awful. So
his postseason was just terrible. And then when people wanted to hear him say, I am so pissed that I didn't drive in any runs, it kills me that we're not playing in the World Series. Instead, he says, oh, no, no big deal. I got kids.
I got kids, you know,
man. I got kids. I got real life things to worry about. So, no, it's no big deal whatsoever. People were livid.
Yeah.
And he
rightfully
had
so.
To go. The problem was finding a taker because his postseason performance was so hideous. Mm-hmm. But his regular season performance was pretty damn good. And so there were, you know, there's always somebody that sees the other side of it. Plus, he was only 30 years old. Really in peak, you know, timing-wise, he was pretty close to his peak in terms of being a power hitter. God, he hit the ball hard. I thought he hit the ball harder than anybody I've ever seen, honest to God. In terms of just line drives, he killed the ball when he hit it. That performance in the All-Star game,
now,
the home run derby.
Now I'm looking it up. Now someone is saying that he is going to retire, which would affect if the Tigers get that money back. I don't think he would retire. I think he would just be medically
unable to play.
Medically put down.
Are you exhausted, Mark, from the experience?
What?
With Officer Martinez?
It was a little wearing.
it was kind of wearing.
But I honestly was fascinated in the story.
It was fascinating.
It's just, do I really need to know how about the storm drains and how tall the...
No.
How much protection he had? I don't know. He'd add a little color to his story and shorten it up a bit.
Yeah, I could help him with the story, definitely.
Frankly, we should have just called up Deputy Crump.
The Crumpster's gone, though.
Yeah. I know. Well,
the Crumpster's gone.
He's
got to
have
McCoy.
Offspring.
Should we possibly interview McCoy's daughter?
No.
Well, she's not going to tell a long story. She wasn't there. But wouldn't it be interesting to find out why?
Why don't we just get them both on the phone at the same time?
Well, you know, after we talk to her, maybe we could ask her if she wants to take on Ramiro. I don't want to do that to Ramiro. You know, honestly, the guy, I feel bad for suggesting that. You know, if the story's true, it's so crazy. But I still have to give him credit for being up there, for being a cop, and for entering this incredible situation. Even if that's completely true, that he fired 6 times and missed every shot, ran over and shot a dead man in the arm and said, I got him!
Well, not to be a dick, but that's assuming everything else he told us was true.
But doesn't that seem preposterous that someone would do that?
what? Oh, miss six times, pick up the gun, blow away, and then go down there.
Yeah, shoot a dead guy in the arm, and you go, I got him.
Yeah, it didn't really ever make sense.
It just seems insane. I mean, I can't believe that guy we talked
about.
Although
that might be the genius behind it, Drew.
Could be.
It's such a ridiculous story.
He just seemed so sincere, but, you know, what can I say? We're just reporting it, telling it like it was told. I mean, it's all alleged. We didn't make it up. But,
Man.
The thing I want to mention about the Tigers is that Cameron Maben is looking like his injury might be a little more serious. And there's talk of a DL.
Was he supposed to have an MRI today?
Yes. And this is not good. You know, this is the guy I do not want to lose from this lineup. Nick Castellanos is bad enough. He is hitting the clutch this year.
Yeah. No, he's productive. He is on the DL. Thumb sprain.
Oh, no. That sucks.
30 minutes ago.
Well, you know, next man up. Can Tyler Collins continue to do what he's done?
Could be retroactive, so he might only miss a week.
Well, this is going to be a very interesting couple months of baseball.
Yeah.
And one thing we do find out tonight is what's going on with Norris. He's starting. This is a guy we need to come through with some great performances down the stretch for us. Obviously, he's not going to pitch like Fulmer, who pitched another brilliant game last night, seven innings, two runs.
No batting whatsoever yesterday.
No, two games, one run. And, you know, it's not coincidental, if you ask me, that Maben's out and all of a sudden the offense has hit the wall. Maben has been a spark for us.
Hey, what channel's the Major League Baseball Network at your house?
740-something, I think. 741, maybe?
All right.
Let me check.
I just punched it in. Why don't I just... Major League Baseball Network. Does that ever work? Do you ever use your voice activated?
No, I don't.
Really?
But you used it successfully the other day.
It didn't work now.
Actually, I want to use it now that I've seen
Fox Sports
it.
Detroit.
Otherwise known as Channel 30.
Otherwise known as Channel 30. It won't turn off this channel it's on right now.
What is up with that? Mark, you broke my TV.
Wait, it just changed it to something. Oh, okay, that's Fox Sports Detroit. Why does it keep saying free with subscription? Get out of here.
Yeah, push exit.
Okay.
Ask for Major League Baseball Network again.
Major League Baseball Network. Again. The only reason I'm asking is because Scherzer has a no-hitter right now.
Well.
Yeah. So. All right.
Okay.
That's all I got.
I'm done. I'm thoroughly spent.
Ramirez. I don't even remember his name anymore. Ramiro Martinez, right?
Yep.
He wore me out.
We'll have to consider McCoy's daughter. We'll give that some hard thought.
Okay.
I think we should talk to her. I think we should drag this thing out.
Why not?
It smacks of...
Martinez drug it out to begin with.
You know what it's starting to smack of?
What?
Dick Arndt in the Hank Aaron
Dick
755. Remember how long we worked on that story?
I forgot about Arndt, yeah. What a great name.
And what a huge payoff in the end. And actually, I refuse to say that Ramiro Martinez was not an immense payout.
In the end. Speaking of Dick Arndt, there were some good names in Ramiro's story because there was Johnny Pope and Houston McCoy.
The Crumster.
Deputy Crumb.
Oh, God. All right.
Good Texas names.
Ryan Ermani tomorrow.
Ryan is bursting
to come on the podcast.
Is he going
to
do a story on it?
I don't know. You know, I think he was asking about it, and of course we were real excited about the idea, and I said, why don't you come on the podcast? Well, let's do one, and we'll talk about doing a story later. So he might.
Scherzer lost his no-hitter.
Oh, good.
I think we jinxed him by trying to find the Major League Baseball.
As soon as you
network.
Mentioned it was over, Mark.
Yeah.
Because that's how that works. If no one says anything, then the pitcher pitches a no-hitter. But if anyone
says... Oh, shut.
Says,
God, I hate now. You're such a dick.
If anyone...
Such a liar.
The play-by-play guy, I mean, Mario, thankfully, has been so careful.
Hey, Mario.
Or Verlander would have two less no-hitters.
It's the dumbest thing ever.
I know. It's really stupid. And it also makes people unaware that the guy's a no-hitter because you're not talking about it.
We'll give Fox credit, though. They do start putting it on the TV, like... no hitter. They'll put up a little graphic, tiny, tiny graphic.
And of course, they get blamed by 500 people after the game. So, all right, Ryan Ermani tomorrow, along with Mark and yours truly. And thanks to Jay. Thanks to Evan for stopping by.
Thanks, Evan.
Thanks to Officer Ramiro for telling the story in the most detailed way.
Elongated.
Hey, he told the story well.
I know.
He left nothing out. And we'll see you tomorrow. See ya!
I love that story.